much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi.
Hi.
It's like hello, only shorter.
Yes, glad we were able to save that time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We had such a good time sitting on the floor, eating that bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
After we eat, we can watch that YouTube footage of Miley Matlin calling movie phone.
Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Nast Mimti.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Nast Mimti.
You have selected 300. If this is the movie you'd like to see, say yes now.
No.
You have confirmed 300.
Dude, that's funny. Come on. All right.
And now.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek? They got every race and life form in the galaxy, except for Puerto Ricans. What's up with that?
Our feature presentation.
Never really thought of it that way.
No, and why would he point it out?
Don't know.
He's not Puerto Rican.
That's a good question.
Odd.
Why does Tracy Morgan say and do anything? That's the question right there.
No, true.
Hey, we'll take your phone calls in a moment for Kevin and Bean's Monday edition of What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Speaking of the great Marley Matlin. Who was, you just heard in the clip with the Mr. Movie Phone from Family Guy. Did anyone see the live Family Guy show that they did last night?
Oh, I turned it on right when they were saying goodbye. I totally forgot.
I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet.
Very, very funny. They were recreating. Well, it's a weird special for Family Guy fans because they were singing some songs and talking about some bits and recreating some bits. And they did some new stuff on stage, too. But one of the things that they were making fun of was the Marley Matlin. They were talking about how much fun they have with the Marley Matlin. And then Marley Matlin came out on the stage.
Is
and
that
totally
right?
It totally just blasted back. It was doing her impression of Alex Borstein, who's the voice of Marley Matlin on the show. You know, she plays Lois on the Family Guy. And just – it was so funny. It was really very – She has such a great sense of humor about it. I mean, Marley Matlin, you know, you think that, you know, one way to go would be to be depressed that they're making funny on this show. The other way to go is to come on this show and give it right back to them.
Yeah. And the other way to go rarely happens.
It's rarely ever happens.
Almost always you got to cry about people that have been making fun of you.
Well, that's why I feel so good about my spot on Marley Matlin is because I know that she's just laughing at home.
Right.
She's chuckling.
Exactly. Not that she can hear it, but if she did.
Someone might tell her.
Right,
someone might sign it to her.
Somebody's signing it to her, and he's not exactly sure what you're saying, and she laughs.
Exactly.
It was very funny. And then, apparently, Lisa and I had a very similar experience after that, as we both proceeded to get into knockdown, drag-out fights over Mad Men.
Oh, yeah. Really? Did you have the exact same fight?
Well, mine was a little bit different. What's going on, Kevin, on the show is that, and please, if you haven't seen last night's finale, go away for a minute because I don't want to spoil anything for you.
It's the season finale?
Yes.
Last night was season finale. Don Draper, who's the lead character of the show, is just a whore. So he's been banging everything that moves as long as the show has been on the air. Well, last night, after his wife told him that she didn't love him anymore and wants to file for divorce, last night after that, he found out from somebody else that she had been seeing somebody on the side.
But she hasn't slept with him.
Wait, that his wife had been?
Yeah.
Yes. He went ballistic on that, okay, as you can imagine. So Donna and I are watching the show, and she's furious at this point that he's got any room to talk about how dare you care that she had her eye on somebody else after your behavior. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not saying it's right, but in 1963, I think it was fairly commonplace for guys to play around at the office or whatever, and then the wife would just kind of stay at home and be good. She was not into that at all. I wasn't defending it. I wasn't saying it's the way it should be. I'm saying it was fairly commonplace for 1963, and it's hard for us to watch it, you know, 50 years later through the prism of what it was like back then.
You are not smart. Why would you have that argument with her?
My argument was not even like, you know, take it as the time frame that it is. It was more about, because I watched it with a guy and he thought that, you know, she's a cold bitch and good riddance and she's a terrible person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, poor Don, he's just a guy trying to get by.
Right.
Kind of. I was like, what are you, crazy? And she was just using that whole lie about who he is thing as an excuse to leave him. That was just the beginning.
Let me just say that perhaps it's good that Madman's going off for a while. Otherwise, there'd be more divorces as a result of the show.
We have to cool off
that
for sure.
that whole, wow, she's a bitch, he's just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
Right.
You keep that to yourself, Bean. You literally, you go, yep, I sure think that. Sure not going to say it.
Sure not going to say that.
The last thing I'm going to say out loud.
Very cold night tonight.
Yes. Yes. Very frosty last night sleeping in the barn. But I will tell you that I couldn't be sadder. And I know I shouldn't be invested in a TV show, but I couldn't be sadder that Mad Men is going away. I mean, it really – it's one of the high points of the week.
Any show that generates that kind of spirited conversation, I truly appreciate, too.
And by spirited conversation, you mean arguments.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
That's over. It. It's over.
And Bean's wife won't talk to him until the show comes back.
Right.
So that's exactly. Wild.
Apparently, depending on how they resolve the issue is going to depend on how I resolve my issues. So let's just hope they get back together and they're happy.
All right, time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You're going to be so glad you're on the phone because we have for you a pair of tickets to go see the Weezer on January 11th at the UCI Brent Event Center. Plus, wow. How about this? A Weezer Snuggie and a copy of their new album, Ratitude. That's a hell of a prize package right there just for picking up the phone and giving us a call. For Kevin, it means What to Do, Nephew. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10 for Weezer.
Good album, too, by the way. If you don't have that, you should pick it up.
Yeah.
All right, let's begin with DeJuan, one of our favorite people in the whole world. Hey, DeJuan.
What's up, Kevin Bean? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, DeJuan.
How's it going?
Really well. How about you?
Fine, thank you. This Friday night, I was having fun with my family members at the birthday dinner.
That's right. Your mom and your family took you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me, my mom, my brother, my aunt, my aunt's friend.
Right.
My mom's friend was there.
Okay, that was great. And then weren't you going to do something on Saturday as well?
Yep. Mr. Rivers took me out for my birthday party.
It's one of our other listeners, Anel.
Saturday night, yeah.
Who's so the best?
He was having fun.
What'd you do?
Played some golf there and some video games.
Oh, you went to those miniature golf places with the arcade?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we celebrate my 27th birthday.
How about that?
Right. Hey, DeJuan, a couple of questions for you, some follow-up here. Does Anel make you call him Mr. Rivers? Are you not allowed to use his first name?
I forgot to pronounce his first name.
Oh, that's all right.
But okay. Anel.
Anel.
Anel, right. Anel. And the other question I had is this friend, quote-unquote, of your mom's. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's my mom's best friend since high school.
Oh, it's a girl?
It's a lady, yeah.
It's a lady. Okay. Well, that's even better.
And something else, too. Yesterday was Jessica Lowndes' birthday.
All right.
Play on 90210, play Adriana.
You do keep up with your 90210 cast, don't you?
Yeah, I was supposed to go to her birthday party on the 14th of November, but it's in Las Vegas, but I decided to not go.
Not go to Las Vegas?
No, to see Jessica Lowndes' show at her birthday.
Oh, I see. But in Vegas.
Happy birthday, Jessica Lowndes.
Right. From 90210? Okay. All right, DeJuan, well, listen, I'm glad you had a great weekend. I'm glad you called, okay?
Thanks.
All right, you're the best. I know. I wonder if he's ever been to Vegas.
I'm guessing no.
Oh. I think Las Vegas might be wasted on DeJuan, to tell you the truth.
I think he would love it.
I don't know.
Head would explode.
What would he do there?
Eat.
You can pretty much eat anywhere, though, right?
Yeah.
Let's try Jennifer, line 4, calling about a big sports day yesterday.
Hey, Jennifer. Yes.
Hi. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What's going on?
What it do, hey, boo? I was calling to find out, did anybody catch the Giants and the Chargers game yesterday?
I certainly saw the end of it, yeah.
I saw part of it. I didn't see the end of it.
Well, I'm a Giants fan, and oh my gosh, I was so excited to see that the score was 20-14, and then I was shocked to see the very last play, the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, with 20 seconds to go, San Diego scored another touchdown and beat the Giants, who have now lost four games in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty sad. Pretty sad day for Giants fans. But anyways, that's all I was calling for.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Enjoy your Weezer stuff.
Yeah, it was. There was some great football going on yesterday. Ralph, who won't be here today, thank God for us, because his Eagles ended up losing last night to the Giants. Yeah,
Cowboys.
Seahawks barely beat the Lions. Seahawks are just couldn't be more pitiful. But thank God you don't at least lose to the Detroit Lions. I guess Indianapolis still undefeated. New Orleans still undefeated. Some very exciting games yesterday.
Tampa Bay not undefeated anymore. Or not fully defeated.
Yeah. They won one?
Yeah, they beat Green Bay and Tampa Bay. That was another really exciting game.
Tampa Bay now has the ugliest uniforms in the history of the NFL, right? The Seahawks ones from a couple weeks ago, the bright green ones were the worst, but they were wearing some sort of an orange, like creamsicle jersey yesterday.
As opposed to those Seahawks throwbacks, I remember when Tampa Bay used to wear those, don't you, Kevin? Like light orange and white.
Wow. They're hideous.
Those they ugly. Brought those out yesterday, hideous. And they won, so now they might have to just wear them.
Oh, no.
And while we're talking sports, how many of you were excited about the Galaxy moving on in the playoffs?
Woo!
Come on.
That was awesome.
I was there. I was high-fiving. It was great. Who's with me?
I guess it's good.
No one? It was exciting.
Glad you had fun.
All right, let's go to Justin real quick. We're kind of running late, but Justin's got a good call. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how's it going? What to do?
What to do?
What to do?
What to do, baby boom?
Hi.
So I was calling about see if you guys had seen the BYU New Mexico girls soccer game that went on. It's a total MMA beatdown.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
They really should put them in the MMA. I mean, it was really, they were elbowing, outwardly
really?
Elbowing.
Did everyone get involved?
No.
It was just one girl.
It was the two the whole time.
Was this the one that they were showing clips of all weekend where the girl literally grabbed the other girl by her ponytail from the back and damn near ripped her head off.
And yanked her to the ground.
Boom! Oh, right to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it was ripping the ponytail. It was like the full-on punches in the back. I mean, there's some pushing and shoving that goes on in soccer.
Normally, right.
And put to top it off, the girl got a yellow card just because she argued a foul. Never got thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe she didn't get thrown out. And by the way, who's with me that when you're talking about that kind of violence in women's soccer, it has no place on the field and should only be happening in the showers? Right? That's where I want to see that going on.
No, you don't want fights there. You want makeups there.
The best part, the retribution was that BYU won 0.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the part we care about is the score of that game. I sent a copy of that video to the King last week. I don't know if it has made it into the internet roundup or not, but we'll make sure that it's up there if it isn't already, so people can go see it. But it really is. It'll be the first time in your life you ever care about women's soccer, but it's worth watching.
It's bizarre too, because most players, when they play whatever sport it is, you try to hide what you're doing from the ref,
right?
You know, and they were just throwing elbows and just yanking hair, and it was just total all on brawl.
Wow. You know, they show it over and over again. All these clips on the different sports shows, and it is strange to watch. Because when you see athletic women fighting like that, it doesn't seem
sexy.
Natural. No, right. It looks like Tekken or something. You don't think it's real, like muscular women just ripping each other's head off.
Yeah, that one that pulled the other one down, though, that was...
Wow.
I'd like to date her. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Speaking of sports, we have an author who has written a book called The Book of Baseball. He writes for ESPN.com, Bill Simmons.
It's weird because the whole book's about basketball, so I don't know why
you
named
it that.
Did
I say baseball?
Huh. Yeah.
Basketball, much better topic.
Okay,
great book too, Kevin. You will love this book.
Can't wait. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Highlights from Sex Rehab with Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Oh, how was it?
I watched it.
It is sexrific. It's really sexrific. It's really. I don't know how he expects any of the guys to get over their sex addiction when it's basically female, you know, models.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
But it's exact. In this case, this is the one case where it's exactly the same for the women, though. It's just as hard for them to get over their sex addiction because there are guys around.
Yeah, I guess.
They want it just as bad as the guys do, right?
Yep.
Yeah, well, pretty much. There was one girl who said that she masturbated 18 times in one day.
Yes.
That seems extreme.
Oh, my God.
But I'd like her address. Also, on today's Kevin and Bean Show, Spencer Pratt is now a motivational speaker.
Wow.
If you've heard about that.
That is disturbing.
Gene Simmons of KISS, it looks like, is going to get into some type of merchandising. I'm not sure what.
What?
Wow. I know. It sounds odd because he's been against it.
It's always been about the music with that band.
Yeah, they don't sell out.
Wow.
And you got in a fight in a movie theater.
Ah.
A lot of that going around.
Yeah.
People won't shut the F up. People bring their kids. People whatever. They don't care what you're doing or why. And you finally say, oh, I'm going to say something. It never goes well.
It never does. That's so true.
So we'll take your calls on that as well. A quick break, and the Showbiz Beat is next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. Time to take a look at the Showbiz Beat for a brand new week and a brand new box office champ. It's hard to imagine that there are a lot of people out there who were in the mood for a Christmas movie this weekend. And I know that the Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey did not do the kind of business that they were hoping it might. It only did about $31 million. It was enough to make it number one. But can you imagine saying to the family, hey, let's go see a Christmas movie this weekend?
No.
Are you in that mindset yet?
No. Not a bit.
Maybe just a lot of parents looking for something to take the kids to, I guess. But, Jim Carrey back at number one.
He Saw has become... 6 is still in the theaters if you're looking for something for your kids.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Jim Carrey is kind of a go-to guy for these holiday movies ever since How the Grinch Stole Christmas. He's done a few of them, but it was number one. Michael Jackson down to number two with his This Is It. Made $14 million at the box office over the weekend. The first of two new George Clooney movies this fall came in at number three, The Men Who Stare at Goats, $13.3 million. Kevin, I know you were planning on trying to see that this weekend. Did you make it?
I did.
And what did you think?
And it was pretty good.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't read books. I read that one, but I don't read books. And now I know what people mean when they say the book's better. That's not as good as the book.
Yeah.
Which is probably impossible to do, but yeah, it was good. It was good. It was funny.
What a great cast, though.
Yeah.
That film.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
There's great performances.
It was cast well and everything. It's just, it doesn't give you the feeling of how real that was, I don't think. Yeah. That's the part that fascinates me. The real people in real positions of leadership that did that.
Yeah, interesting. Number four was the latest horror movie to come out this season. Seems like I can't remember a time where there's ever been more scary movies released one right after another. But the new one is The Fourth Kind. That came in at fourth with $12.5 million. Paranormal Activity was number five. The Box debuted at number six. I don't know anyone who's saying good things about that movie, by the way.
Oh, really?
Couples Retreat at seven. Law Abiding Citizen 8, Where the Wild Things Are, number nine. And rounding out your top 10 for the weekend was Astro Boy.
Gotta tell you, Miss California Carrie Prejean has had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing like the people in England. This is awesome. Reuters says, Miss England, Rachel Christie, was arrested last week after getting into a bar fight with another beauty queen.
Oh, nice. Battling beauty queens.
She got into a brawl with Sarah Jones, who was Miss Manchester in Northern England.
Love
Apparently,
it.
Apparently, Christie punched Jones right in the face. Are you kidding?
Wow.
Now we're getting somewhere. Beauty queens fighting each other. I'm in.
But come on, ours made a tape. If we could see it.
Sure.
That would be pretty awesome.
Sure.
By the way, thank you for reminding us, Lisa. It's absolutely unacceptable that there is a Miss California solo sex tape out there somewhere and that nobody has forwarded it to us.
Yeah.
Right? What's up with that?
Somebody has to have it.
And somebody must have it.
And somebody needs to anonymously forward it to someone else.
Exactly.
Not giving any names, but you and us.
Today is a huge day for video game fans. Well, midnight tonight, anyway, is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is coming out. They are expecting, by the way, that it will sell 12 million copies by the end of this year.
Wow.
12 million copies. Of course, this is the latest in the very popular series that goes back to 2003. This one has been quite controversial. I saw some articles on it over the weekend because one of the characters that you can play is in the terrorist cell. You can actually play a terrorist in this movie. So you can be mowing down innocent civilians in Call of Duty.
Excellent.
Which there are people, surprisingly, there are people who are coming out and saying they don't think that that's a good thing to allow in a video game.
Huh. Every single shooter game that I play, the first thing I try to do is shoot the wrong people. I just test if I can. I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. But.
Well, there is a mode, there is a switch on the new Call of Duty where you don't have to play anyone as a terrorist. You can play all good guys trying to fight the terrorists if you want, but the option is there, and that has been controversial for some. But, I mean, look, it goes back to the age-old argument. Is anyone likely to play a terrorist in this game and then go out and do it? No, not really.
No,
most people understand that it's just fantasy. Just like in a movie, you got to have somebody playing a terrorist. In a video game, now you can play the terrorist too. But I did want to give you the heads up if you're a video game fan. Call of Duty Modern Warfare. This is the one you've been waiting for, and it comes out tonight at midnight.
It's a knee-jerk reaction too, because it's been a long-standing thing where you could use like Nazis and Japanese soldiers in World War II in other World War II based fighting games. I don't see why this is any problem just because it's modern.
What did Nazis have to do with World War II, though? It seems like they're just throwing it in
for the fun of it.
I
mean, you got to suspend reality.
Right. New Moon comes out a week from Friday. You know how your parents occasionally really, really embarrass you?
Yeah. Your children know that.
Taylor Lautner was doing a signing, told Star Magazine that a mom and a daughter came up to get an autograph, and the mom, not the daughter, but the mom asked him to autograph her underwear.
Oh, no.
He was so sad that it was the mom and not the daughter.
That's just wrong.
The daughter must have just been going, oh, God, kill me now.
That's creepy. Yeah.
You would not be happy in that situation.
No.
And I'll close with this one. Morrissey was performing the last show of the British leg of his current world tour in Liverpool on Saturday night. He had sung two songs. He kneeled down to shake hands with some fans in the crowd, and somebody threw a giant pitcher of beer and hit Morrissey in the head with it.
Ouch.
Right?
He stood up, wiped his face, said goodbye, walked off stage. 15 minutes went by. The house lights came on. The audience was told the show was over. Fans were offered a refund. The reason I bring it up is, isn't Morrissey sad enough? Isn't he? If you go to a Morrissey concert, you know what you're getting. You're getting a sad guy. You're just lucky that he showed up and he has the strength to sing. Don't throw beer at Morrissey.
I know. That is absolutely true.
Out of all the performers to throw beer at him, maybe he's the least one.
He might not have the fortitude to get through it. I'm just suggesting that maybe cut Morrissey a break. Just roses for Morrissey, okay? Treat him gingerly. That's all I'm saying. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Lisa May, I know you just did Marley Matlin for us. But
yes.
Lou Ferrigno celebrating a birthday today. Oh, the actor who played the Incredible Hulk is 58. Does Lou have anything to say?
I love my birthday!
Also, Peppa from Salt and Peppa is 40 today. Actor Eric Dane, I think he's McSteamy over there on Grey's Anatomy, is 37 years old today. The former Mr. Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey, is 36 today. Cisco, Psycho Mike, Cisco, 31 today. MTV host Vanessa Manillo is 29 today. And that is the showbiz beat. Our phone screener, Miss Cleo, has joined us in the studio.
Good
Miss Cleo, how are you?
Good, how about you?
Why is your top still on?
Yeah. Oh, my bad.
Come on.
I'm so happy that Miss Cleo's on the show now because she's the female version of me.
Oh, you don't have to insult her.
And
come on.
It's so fun to watch that from the outside. Usually I'm the one in the middle getting mocked.
And now you understand?
Yes.
What a good time we're all having.
Oh, my God. How fun it is. So the first thing, I didn't cue it up the clocks one. Find that one first. The first thing was clocks, and this is when we realized that she was spectacular. We were giving clues. The listener had to come up with the answer is the name of a song, a Foo Fighters song, Times Like These. And this is her clue.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock.
Okay, so that happened.
I don't believe the listener came up with that one either, now that I think back to it. Here's my whole thing. The title fight game is a pressure cooker.
Yes.
Totally.
You have 45 seconds. You've got a bunch of people in the room. You've got a contestant on the phone that you're responsible for, giving them the opportunity to try to win concert tickets. They very much want to. And you are in a situation where you've got to not use any of the words in the title, and you've got to come up with clues that you haven't had any time to think about. The sheet is handed to you immediately before you go on the air. And there's just an awful lot to keep straight. Having said all that, of all the people in the world that I have ever heard play the game, Miss Cleo is far and away the worst. I don't know how she expects anyone to ever come up with any answer based on her clues.
I don't know either.
Oh. It's almost like she's throwing up a roadblock, like she's going out of her way to look for things she can say that will merely muddy the waters rather than give the person an opportunity to guess.
So we did it again on Friday, and this time it was U2 songs, and I'm going to tell you the name of the song before I play you how Miss Cleo described it. The first one was Beautiful Day. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we don't give these to her early, so she can't make up clues. We give them to her at the last second because it's much funnier when she does this.
It looks something that looks great, and it's a for the week you have several. There are seven things of these in a week. Seven blank in a week, and the opposite of ugly. Opposite of ugly, seven blanks in a week.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
Okay, she should have gotten that.
She should have. That's on the contestant.
Seven blanks in a week. I mean, really, that's a dumb contestant. Dumb.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It took Miss Cleo a long time to get to her combination of good clues, the 7 days a week and the opposite of ugly, but they are both very good clues.
But here's what I like about her game plan, is that she says seven blanks in a week, but then she immediately jumps to the next one before the person gets the word.
Right.
Well, because it's that clock.
So it's nice. It's beautiful. I can't say beautiful. It's good. It's wonderful. And seven of these, it's wonderful. So then she moves on to Angels of Harlem.
These fly up in the sky. And it's a city in New York that's known for...
City of Blinding Lights.
No, it's a city...
Keep going, Miss Cleo.
I liked it. And then I liked that her first reaction is to just quit while the clock's still ticking. And Lisa actually has to go, keep going. It's not over yet.
Something that flies in the sky, you're not going to come... There are like 30 things that come to mind before angels, by the way.
I know, but again, it's the first time she's looked at it. That's a tough one. I was thinking about that. Like, what clue would I have come up with if you just put angels in front of my eyes? Boom, go.
Heaven.
That's a tough one.
Fly around in heaven
maybe,
or whatever.
That would have been good.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. And maybe. The city of Harlem, by the way, there's a city named Harlem, right?
It's a neighborhood in New York.
Oh, no,
it's
not.
But yeah.
Well, close enough.
So she did get this one, and had she not, we would have beat her about the head and face. Here you go.
The next number after before two.
One.
Yes! All right, so we got
yay
one.
Yay me.
The next number before two.
And then I think she's trying to give a clue for where the streets have no name on this one.
Okay.
I believe. And then she gets interrupted by the buzzer.
This place is... without.
Wow. All right. All right. So she got one. That happened.
And that was one.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next one is my favorite. Now she goes on to another contestant. And the U2 song is New Year's Day.
Okay.
Keeping in mind she can't use the word New Year's or day, how does she get the person to say it?
You celebrate this on the 31st of December.
New Year's Day.
Now,
look, she got it. That's
she
all
did
I'm
get
saying.
It.
Far be it from me to question your logic, but the 31st of December would be New Year's Eve.
Yes, that's correct.
The next day would be New Year's Day. So your clue was incorrect, but she knew what ballpark you were in, so she just...
Yeah.
She spoke Cleo,
she did.
Apparently.
It is weird that you don't see the words New Year's Day and instantly think January 1st, though. I mean, that's... That, to me, is a pretty logical...
Because you could say January and 1st, by the way.
Right.
That's not as weird to me.
What?
I kind of get where she was with
that.
I don't know. I think...
And the fact that you can't say New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, it just... I might have had a little problem with that, too.
But
thanks,
you,
Lisa.
If you can say the 31st of December, you can say the 1st of January.
I know. I just think... I think of it as New Year's Day as opposed to January 1st.
Yeah, I associate New Year's more with New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Right,
and that's
because
what came in my head.
They're next to each other.
Okay,
you
but
guys
look,
know
exactly.
That, right?
You're sleeping right through New Year's Day, by
turns
the way.
Turns out I am one to talk when you're in the room. All right, here's... get on your boots. Good luck.
All right. What? Ooh. These are shoes that you use and you want to...
Get them on.
When you get on top... Oh, I said the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go to the next one.
Yeah, so she said get and on, and she's not allowed to say get on or your boots either. So she said two of the four words.
That one was tough.
It is, yeah, sure.
Okay.
But everyone refers to boots as shoes that you use. Come on.
So then she gets to vertigo.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the best.
She looks up at Psycho Mike for a little clarification.
Go to the next one.
Isn't this a color?
No! Not at all!
Pass, I don't know this one.
Okay, go to the next
Keep
one.
Going.
By the way, the only time I've ever heard this game work is that the contestant says pass because they're frustrated they can't get the answer. The clue giver never says pass that I know of.
But it makes sense in this case.
What word, what can she do if she doesn't know what the word is? But what word do you think you were thinking of, vertigo?
I'm pretty sure I was thinking indigo.
Indigo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that
makes
sense.
Not
that
vertigo.
Makes sense.
So then Miss Cleo looks at stuck at a moment you can't get out of.
Oh.
That's a tough one.
And that's a lot of words to get
that is a tough one.
So, but she nailed it.
Do it!
Come on!
Okay. Pass on that one. Okay.
She just gives up on that
Again,
one as well.
Right decision.
Just
That's
give
impossible.
Up and move on.
There was no way that anything reasonable was going to come
if
out of my mouth.
She's got her contestant in mind. That was probably the best decision of all.
It wasn't going to happen.
Time is in the essence.
Yeah.
So
then she moves on to Bullet the Blue Sky and does okay.
This comes out of a gun, and then it's up with clouds.
It's what, Sadie?
Comes out of a gun, and you can... put it up with the clouds.
Put it up with the clouds.
Oh. And that's the listener's fault.
But in Miss Cleo's defense, absolutely, yeah. In Miss Cleo's defense, if once they come up with the word bullet, they know they're looking for a U2 song. They should have been able to put it. It doesn't even matter what the second half of the title is.
You should have just said comes out of a gun, and that person should have gotten it immediately.
Yeah, my contestant was bad.
Your contestants were both bad, but you were spectacularly worse.
Vertigo.
But my favorite is...
You celebrate this on the 31st of December.
New Year's Day.
That's not correct.
That's our calendar.
I guess it's a correct answer. But a great quiz. We're looking for anything else to give away.
Well done, Miss Cleo.
Thank you.
So we can continue to play this game with the magical Miss...
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph did a story last week that came from Janet Charlton, who is a very popular gossip columnist who has a website, janetcharltonshollywood.com, that says that Spencer Pratt, who's the douchebag from the Hills, is in talks with the Learning Annex to be a motivational speaker. In other words, people would pay and they would show up and Spencer would stand in front of the class and share his secrets on how to become rich and famous.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. Uh-huh. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
That's our man.
Yeah.
You got it. Just one of the many jobs I've had.
Motivational speaker.
Yeah, just add it to the list, bud.
But you're going to tell people how to motivate themselves to be successful?
That's right. You got it, buddy. By the way, Ken Barkley, how you doing?
It's Kevin and Bean.
It's always a pleasure when you have me back in.
Right.
I choose not to even reference this one over here.
Lisa?
And I'm pointing.
Lisa?
Yeah.
You're pointing, yeah.
What's
wrong with Lisa? What did Lisa do?
First off, Laura has always given me lip every time
Lisa.
I come in here.
It's okay? Lisa.
Secondly, I think it's cute how you give a woman a job. Third, I don't think that she gives me, you know, the reverence that I deserve.
I don't.
Yeah, how Spencer, much... you're practically living off of Heidi. If she didn't have a job, you'd be in trouble.
That's so
great
funny
point.
Because before Heidi was even introduced to Spence Dog, okay, I was already a Nobel Prize winner.
No, you never won a Nobel Prize.
I was already a Michelin 3-star chef.
What?
Yeah.
You can't cook at all. What are you talking about?
What? Okay.
Why don't you just come down
to the Langham Kitchen this weekend? Me and Michael Voltaggio cook you up a little ceviche.
I don't
right.
know what Rocky any of those words
cook
mean.
Ceviche.
You don't know what. I was Dolomite.
What? You weren't Dolomite. Dolomite was an old black guy.
You weren't any
Dolomite.
Of these things.
I was, as I was also a pyrotechnic specialist on a KISS tour in 1974. When
you
I got
even
done,
born.
I was Desmond Tutu's agent.
Okay, listen, Spencer. Here's why we wanted to have you on today, and I can't believe I just said that word. But you're really going to be a motivational speaker. We thought we would open up the phones for Kevin and Me listeners today at 1-800-520-1067 that are in a place in their life where they need that extra juice. They need some help from you, some encouraging words, some suggestions from you on how to achieve their goals in life. Maybe people who have plateaued with their relationships or they can't get to that next rung of the ladder at work. Would you be able to help? Is that the type of thing you can do just on the phone with people if they call in?
100%, Barkley. Listen.
Bean.
I learned something. I realized something when I was in the studio with John Lennon. He told me, pulled me aside, and he said to me that if you don't share your gift, it's useless. And I feel like as both a financial analyst,
you're not a financial
analyst. And as a Marine special ops,
you're
that I have
Marines.
A lot to give back to your listeners, the Kevin and Bean listeners. Right. So call up if you need motivation, if you feel like your life's getting a little bit stagnant, okay?
You feel like
you're in a rut.
Okay. Change jobs, perhaps?
Spence Dog is here to help.
Okay.
All right.
So we're going to open up the phones. 1-800-520-1067. Basically, what we're doing is we're saving you the money from having to pay to go down to the Learning Annex to listen to Spencer give his speech. You can call and hear it right from the horse's mouth. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Spencer Pratt, motivational speaker, right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Spencer Pratt, motivational speaker, going to the Learning Annex. You can pay to talk to him there, or you can call now at 1-800-520-1067. If you want some free advice, although I caution against it.
Yeah, definitely check with someone else because Spencer really has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
What's going on with you and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I don't talk to her.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just
Spencer the Motivation Dispenser!
Listen up!
Spencer the Motivation Dispenser!
That's right, kid.
Spencer the Motivation Dispenser!
Sick!
Spencer the Motivation Dispenser!
I do this job for free so even poor people can afford it.
Wow, that's nice of you.
Got it, buddy.
All right, let's see what you can do for the Kevin and Bean listeners. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with let's start with John. He's got a great question to get us going here today. He's on line four. John, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. You're on with Spencer Pratt. What's your question?
Hey, morning. Hey, Spencer. I was wondering, how do you become a professional mooch?
How do you become a professional mooch? It's tough for me to comment on that because before I even met, you know, my beautiful bride, my Aryan princess, I was already Salt Lake City's number one Ford dealer.
That's not the case at all.
But for you, John, if you really want to mooch off a woman, just demand it. Just remember that God, Jesus Cristo up in the clouds, he put women on this earth to be subservient to us in every way. So just let her know.
I don't think that's...
Say, hey. Hey, Crystal, or whatever her name may be, call her Babe, or Honey Pie, or something like that, very degrading, and say, listen, do your job, and support Daddy, or else, you know what, it's back to Skid Row where you belong, thanks.
Okay,
there you go.
Good advice, good do your job and support Daddy, I like it, let's try
and
David.
Wink at women, they love that.
Do they like?
Yeah,
they do.
Hey, you want to go to Hyde later, Kendall?
Me?
It's Kevin. All right, David is on line five. He has a question for Spencer Pratt, motivational speaker. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, Spencer, I just started a new job about a month and a half ago, and it's really stressing me out. And I'm also newlywed, and that already looks like it's going down the toilet.
Hey.
Divorce.
A new marriage can be very tough, especially with the financial situation being what it is in this country for normal people. I understand how it can be. Let's get things out of the way for the important stuff. What does your new bride weigh?
About 160.
Yeah,
that's not really.
Have you thought about murder?
What?
Spencer. That's not how you get out of a marriage.
That's terrible advice.
Well, it's not.
She could be. Have you seen him? She could be perfect for him.
No, she couldn't. Did you hear him say 160?
Yeah, but maybe.
Okay,
he's,
so she's a Nazi, and
what
she's a terrorist of our eyes. She's committing terrorism against our eyeballs on a day-to-day basis. And
so your advice to him would be what?
My advice as someone, as a certified member of Department of Homeland Security.
Which you're not.
I would say hire someone to kill her.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Disregard
Thanks.
This phone call, David.
Donald, David. Enjoy yourself.
We'd like to
enjoy.
Terrible
right.
advice.
You're a good man.
Don't
Great.
Do that.
Yeah, get rid of Fatty.
Let's try Chris. He's on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Spencer, one of the plot lines on The Hills this week has been how much you don't want kids, how much you are looking forward to getting a vasectomy, even though Heidi wants to have a big family, right?
That's still going on?
Oh, God.
The last thing we need is keep populating like the minorities do, right?
You know, I support you in not doing that.
I do,
that.
Too.
Oh, Linda. It's funny Lisa. How you think your comments, they belong here. Men are talking.
No, all right, well, let's see what,
and you.
See what Chris has to say.
Here's what we'd like to suggest before we move on to the calls is that this is our arena, and we say she stays and can talk.
You know what? Your hair's looking good lately, bud.
Thank you.
Where you get it done?
I don't know what that means.
All right,
I got a guy. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Well, as we said earlier, I'm expecting my first kid in February, and I was just wondering what's the best advice.
Is it a boy or a girl that you're expecting?
It's going to be a boy.
Okay, good. Fantastic. Great.
And
that's what
even
we mean.
We just discussed, I am a minority, but I did graduate from college. I got married, and then the kid came afterwards.
Okay. Wow, you did it all right.
Wow, okay, you're really
and
going,
I married
against,
a white woman too.
Going against the grain. Going what?
And I married a white woman, too.
And you're...
I'm Mexican.
Oh, God. Come on.
Oh, Jesus Christ in heaven. Please forgive him for his sins.
What
he
sin?
Has sullied the pure waters of the Aryan woman.
Oh, man. Spencer.
Christopher, I got your name right first off. Secondly, I don't know what you think you're doing. Okay, but there's a sanctuary known as the Aryan woman.
No.
And
what?
Not really.
You don't belong dipping your tainted stick in that water.
Oh,
you know
God.
What I'm saying? Okay, and I
terrible.
Learned that as an ordained priest.
You're not an ordained
You're not
priest.
A priest at all.
I was at Oral Roberts from 84 to 86. You don't even know anything about it.
You weren't even born until right. 90, I think.
Chris, good luck with your boy. I'm sorry for the bad advice, but thank you very much for the call.
Listen,
all right,
there's one thing that Kareem Abdul
Abdul-Jabbar taught me when I was the backup center for the 86 Lakers.
You never played the NBA.
And that's the, it's all we need is love.
All right, we already have time for a couple more. Why don't we try Mario? He's on line one. He's got a basic question where Spencer may have some motivational advice. Mario, hi, you're on with Spencer Pratt. Go ahead.
Hey, Spencer, dog, how can I get laid?
Do you have any cocaine?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
That's all you need, buddy.
That's
just head on over to Teddy's or Joseph's or High or maybe Social Hollywood and just flash the yeah, yeah. And just, you know what I'm saying? Just do a wiggle your nose. You know what I'm saying? Grab your nose right now. Grab, use your thumb, okay? Use your thumb and your first finger, your pointer finger, and grab your nose and just shake it a little bit, okay? Shake it. And that's the universal sign for ladies. I'm holding that Bolivian marching powder. And that's all the girls want. All right.
That's all it takes, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck with that, Mario. Hope that
Say
all
hi to your
out.
Brother Luigi, bud.
Spencer, do you have any advice just for people who can't call in? Who
that was a hell of a poll.
Do you have any advice? Oh, never mind.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:50. I'm sorry, it's 6:50.
I'm wishful thinking. No.
This day is flying on by. Yes. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show highlights of last night's Dr. Drew Celebrity Sex Rehab on VH1 last night, coming up in about 15 minutes. I didn't see episode 2 yet. Was it as good as episode 1 was?
Well, a lot of hot chicks that really want it.
Yeah,
they do want a bone on that show. That's for sure.
And they're in the same building with a lot of dudes who really want it.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
It is that I know we're going to have Dr. Drew on later this week, and we have to talk to him about the questionable plan to have the men and the women sharing living quarters. It seems like if ever there's a rehab where maybe, I don't know, you segregate a little by sex and have to work out some issues maybe before you put him in that situation, maybe this is the one. But very excited about highlights of that coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, the showbiz beat Ralph is out today, but we continue to take a look at what's going on in Hollywood. A lot of Rihanna news today. You know, she finally broke her silence after the Chris Brown incident and gave an interview with 2020. It was the number one show of the evening on Friday night. Best numbers in 3 years to see Rihanna tell her side of the story. I didn't see the interview, by the way, but I read a recap where she said she did initially go back to Chris Brown after after she got beat up, and then realized it was not a good idea. Now she says she's over it. She's moved on. She has no interest in revisiting Chris Brown again. Chris Brown issued a statement to MTV News saying, "I maintain my position that all of the details should remain a private matter between us."
Sure.
Which I guess I would do if I'm the guy who, you know, beat her up.
That's a hell of a position,
that
Chris.
That sure helps you.
He adds that he appreciates Rihanna's support, wishes her the best, maintains he's extremely sorry, and will leave the rest to God, is what Chris Brown is saying. Rihanna, by the way, we don't know who she's going to end up dating next. New York Post page 6 says that Braylon Edwards, who plays for the New York Jets, saw Rihanna at a Southern California nightclub the other day and sent over a $10,000 bottle of champagne.
That's cheating. What are the other guys supposed to do with that club to see her and don't have $10,000 for a bottle of champagne?
Good point.
I love that Rihanna refused the beverage, sent it back because she had no idea who the dude was. So, you got to think that he's going, "Hey, I play for the Jets. I'm in," right? She's
wrong.
Like, "No, I don't know who you are."
Daniel Craig is a very generous man. According to Star Magazine, he was wearing a $7,000 Rolex.
Yeah.
And a fan said, "Wow, that's a hell of a watch." And he took it off and said, "Here you go."
Dude.
You're kidding.
Gave it to him.
Really?
Who does that?
Daniel Craig.
Wow.
Maybe it was fake.
I wonder what Sean Connery has to say about it.
Picked it up in New York.
Right.
Carrie Prejean is back in the news. The disgraced former Miss California has a new book coming out, and one of the chapters addresses what she calls America's obsession with pornography. Now, bear in mind, as I read this quote from the book to you, that Miss Prejean has her own pornographic tape that's apparently currently circulating around and eventually is going to resurface. But here's what she has to say about pornography. "Unfortunately, pornography has become mainstreamed. It rushes to us through big screens, portable screens. Softcore porn is on mainstream TV cable stations. Hardcore porn is just a mouse click away on the internet. And the envelope of what seems acceptable seems to get pushed farther and farther as more and more people are exposed to this material. The result is that girls grow up in a culture where it's hard to have an innocent, healthy, normal view of themselves, how they should behave, how they should act, how they should dress, and what kind of masturbation videos they should make."
Did she say that?
Oh, actually, that last part. I guess that last part she didn't quite say. But it is, it's odd timing for her to be coming out with this book blasting pornography when she's making her own.
It sure is as self-serving as Chris Brown saying, "Let's keep these details
to ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, the porn that's out there. That's terrible. Because I have one, and I don't want you to watch it.
Right. You seen my tape?
Sharon Osbourne is talking about America's Got Talent, mm-hmm. but only this time it's Britain's Got Talent, and this phenomenon is Susan Boyle.
Oh, yeah.
You know who she is? She's the amazing singer, but man, is she ugly.
Not pretty.
Not at all. Apparently, Sharon Osbourne revealed in an interview that God gave Susan the talent, but beat her with an ugly stick.
Oh!
I have to actually say that.
That's what I like Sharon Osbourne.
It is true, though.
Yes, but...
Yeah, but come on. Like, we don't know that.
But it's so true that it doesn't need to be pointed
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
I don't know if you've seen Sharon pre-surgery.
Yeah, hello.
She's got a lot of balls throwing stones at,
she had,
you know,
quite
before.
A bit of help. Yeah.
But she never had the unibrow that Susan Boyle has.
She was never the beast that Susan is.
Right. Now, this is going to be interesting because isn't, Susan Boyle's not on America's Got Talent. She's going to be on Dancing with the Stars, right? Okay.
I guess.
So that's what she's, I guess why. She's singing on Dancing with the Stars tomorrow
singing.
Night.
I thought she was going to dance.
No.
Great. I would have watched then.
All right.
No. That is funny, though, because you're right, because most celebrities in particular, you know, they try not to say anything that's going to upset people.
Yeah.
Sharon.
Not Sharon.
She's the best.
God hit her with an ugly stick.
I was asking last hour, who's in the mood for a Christmas movie? Like, $31 million worth of tickets sold for this Jim Carrey 3D Christmas Carol that came out over the weekend. Who went to see that? And Kevin Bean listener Paul suggested that maybe they had to release it a little bit earlier than they'd like this year because so many of the 3D screens are going to be taken up with Avatar when it opens up in December.
Oh, no.
So maybe if you want the three, there are only a certain number of those 3D screens available, so maybe you got to get it out there a little bit early to make sure you have room for it. But apparently there were enough people, and I'm sure this will play through the holidays to make it the number one film at the box office over the weekend. Michael Jackson down to number two with another $14 million domestically for This Is It. I think it is nearing $200 million worldwide, the Michael Jackson movie, by the way. And you just know that somewhere in a vault, they got a guy going through footage going, please, there must be another movie somewhere.
Let's get the
gotta have
up.
Something, right? Man Who Stared at Goats, the new George Clooney film, came in at number three with $13.3 million over the weekend. The Fourth Kind came in at number four. Paranormal Activity was five. The Box.
Yeah. Rented it.
Number six. Different version.
Very.
This is the mainstream box. Couples Retreat was number seven. Law Abiding Citizen was number eight. Where the Wild Things Are, nine. And rounding out your top ten was Astro Boy.
You guys ever watched the Corys, the two Corys, whatever that's called?
I did. I watched it a couple of times.
Corey Feldman, Corey Haim. Corey Feldman's soon-to-be ex-wife wants a healthier life for herself and their son.
Mm-hmm.
She is a former Playboy Playmate. She tells Star Magazine that Corey has kinky sexual tastes and forced her to sleep with other men and women during their 10-year marriage.
Really?
Wow.
All right.
What do you mean, all right?
Well, I mean, as long as, you know.
If you don't want to do it, well, it's not all right.
Right, but if you're... But she could have said no, right? I think she was in.
I guess.
I'd like to look at this in a positive.
All right.
I'd like to say she was into it, now she's turned
and
on
now
it.
Now she's changed her mind.
But for a while, that's what she did.
You know what's really weird for me when I saw that story is that if I'm Corey Feldman and I'm finally have figured out a way to get a woman who will marry me, the last thing I want to do is give her other options, right? I mean, I would think that...
Yeah.
I'm so lucky that she wants to be with me that why would I want her to be with somebody else?
I don't think Corey Feldman has any clue how lucky he is to have anyone.
He's got that crazy inflated ego, like he is the gift to all.
You ever see his stage show, his music? He called it, you know, inspirational, and it was just...
He takes himself dead seriously.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And finally, celebrities are so much better than we are. Sarah Michelle Gellar Prinz says she has the best baby in the whole wide world. She told People magazine that her daughter Charlotte smiles all day, is loving, is cuddly, doesn't cry at all, couldn't be more perfect, doesn't poop. I mean, it's amazing.
Really?
I wouldn't have expected that.
Wow.
No poo-poo, no pee-pee.
Wow.
But who has this baby? Only celebrities, I guess, because you have two celebrity parents. That's how you develop a baby that doesn't cry and is cuddly and loving all the time.
I'm guessing doesn't exist.
She's exaggerating
maybe
a bit.
Maybe just a
really?
Bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Like celebrities are known to do.
People don't exaggerate over their kids. Come on. People are very realistic about their kids and their shortcomings.
Nobody's ever been more in love than we are. Nobody's ever had a kid like we have. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. How about actor Lou Ferrigno? He is 58 years old. What was the Curb Your Enthusiasm? Is that the show that he popped up on recently?
I don't remember.
I remember him.
I Love You, Man, the movie, I think.
I Love You, Man, yeah.
Yeah. He's still out there acting, but of course he'll always be known as the Incredible Hulk on TV from the 1970s. Actress and MTV host Vanessa Minnillo, 9 years old today. Nick Steamy on Grey's Anatomy, Eric Dane, 37. Jessica Simpson's ex-husband, Nick Lachey of 98 Degrees, is 36 today. Cisco, famous for the thong song, turns 34 today. And Peppa from the hip-hop act Salt and Peppa is 45. That is the Showbiz Beat.
Meet you on the other side.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 5 minutes after 7 o'clock.
That, of course, is the latest from Neil Diamond here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got Lit, My Own Worst Enemy, coming up. Also, some Rise Against and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I love Dr. Drew so much, but he may have bitten off more than he can chew with this latest edition of Celebrity Rehab, because this time he's dealing with sex addiction.
Yeah, it's Sex Rehab with Dr. Drew. It's on Sunday nights on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I don't understand this whole world a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me like if there are a bunch of guys in there that think about nothing but sex, and then you include a bunch of girls in there that think about nothing but sex, problems happen.
It's kind of like treating alcoholics in a bar.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
Right?
Very much. Very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, because I brought in highlights of last week, the debut show, I said that sex addiction is one of those things that's easy to laugh at until you start to get to know the people who are in sex rehab, whose lives have been destroyed by their obsession with sex. Not funny for them at
all.
Honestly,
not for them.
There was a time when I didn't really believe that that existed,
right.
That it was just someone's excuse.
Right.
You know, it's pretty lame.
Oh, yeah, I'm addicted. What was I supposed to do for making bad decisions?
Right.
Yeah.
But I have been convinced now.
Is that right?
Yeah, it looks pretty awful.
Well, I think in last week's episode, one of the girls, and by the way, they're almost all porn stars or models.
Uh-huh.
Well, this happens.
That's why they get into that, I guess.
How do you
right?
not get Doggy Dog Dog on this program, who gives it up just because she wants some kind of, you know, love?
Yeah.
Hot chicks on this program.
Yeah.
Well, last time one of them said,
one day I literally masturbated probably 18 times that day.
18 times
That's
in one day.
That's bizarre.
To which I say,
and she's a former playmate.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Amber Smith.
Yes.
Supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I wake up every day and I go boy hunting to get a hit of the guy.
All right. Where? Where do you hunt?
Kevin, she doesn't hunt anywhere that you go.
How? Well, that's what I'm saying. I want to go where she's hunting.
They don't let you go where she's hunting.
How do you know?
But the point is, the goal here isn't to try to feed her addiction. It's to help cure her.
Whose goal? Mine is to be where she's hunting.
Okay.
What you're talking about. So one of the dudes is very upset because his life consists of the internet, of TV, and of masturbation. And he's got none of that at sex rehab.
I got no television. I got no masturbation. I got no like, I don't have anything that makes me happy here.
Right. So we'll get back to him in a minute because he finds something that makes him happy there. Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes on to say, and by the way, pretty sure this guy speaks for all men of all time when he says,
it's just so simple. I want to f*** every girl I see. Fix me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's the dude. If I recognize the voice, he's the guy who is the drummer for Skid Row, right?
And he wants.
So he wants
to have sex with every girl he sees. Okay, so
so what makes you different?
Really?
From me?
So I should be in sex rehab? What's going on with that? So then they start talking, and one of the girls, who I believe is the porn actress,
mm-hmm.
she has a trouble getting up in the morning. She does not like to get up, and the woman comes in to try and wake her up for group, and
yes.
she won't get up, so Dr. Drew has to come in and try to wake her up. And then they start talking about, hey, Dr. Drew's allowed in your room because they have all these rules. No guys in the girls' room, no girls in the guys' room. And they're surprised that Dr. Drew's allowed in her room.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. How is he allowed in your bedroom?
Has he gone into your bedroom?
No.
I think he has a crush on me.
Yes.
Like, Teddy, do you like that he comes and wakes you up?
Yeah, if Joel wasn't with him.
I knew it. He's so hot.
No.
I think the point is more that Dr. Drew knows that he can be trusted that nothing inappropriate is going to happen.
Right.
But naturally, she doesn't see it that way.
But are you strong enough to be in that situation, Bean, and just to go, patient, sorry. Because I don't
Well,
think
that's why Dr. Drew is Dr. Drew.
I know
exactly.
I'm not.
Exactly.
So one of the girls, and you know, you don't think of people doing this before they go into rehab, but people that go into drug rehab sometimes go on a huge bender just before they go in, just because they know it's their last fling. Well, one of the girls lost a pair of shoes, and they were asking her where her shoes were.
You lost your shoes?
Yeah, I was in Phoenix trying to make sweet, sweet love to as many people as I could before I came in here. And I lost my shoes in the process.
Where? Where? Where in Phoenix?
Kevin, you may be missing the point of this show. I don't know. You might not be the guy who needs to be trying to explain sex rehab.
I'm
you're
saying
clearly
that-
confounded by it.
So the troublemaker who has trouble getting up, the porn star, she says, oh, I need to go home. I need to go home because I need to put on makeup and my hair extensions. And I don't know where my hair extensions. She's every lame excuse in the book.
Yeah.
So Dr. Drew sends her to a psychiatrist because he's afraid that she is also detoxing from drugs and she just wants to go home and get that fixed.
Oh, I got you.
So this is – and by the way, this girl is convinced that every single person in the place is laughing at her. And no one's laughing at her less than the psychiatrist.
If you want to go home and do this, apparently the only way it can be done is you have to be fully discharged.
Like, I'm not liking the way you guys are treating me. And you're laughing at me right now. I can see you trying not to laugh, and this is not funny. And don't deny it. I know I'm a very smart girl, and I know what I'm looking at. Let me finish. This is not about you. This is about me right now, and I'm trying to tell you something.
Okay.
If you're interested.
I certainly am.
See, that's why I would not be a good therapist, because I would go, nope, thanks for your time. I thought I was here to help you. See you later.
She's got a lot of problems.
You think?
Yeah.
So remember the dude that doesn't have anything that's fun there for him?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's not enjoying himself?
Yeah.
Well, he's talking about Amber Smith.
Okay.
And about how she seems to have a penchant for guys that look sort of like her father, because she never got love from her father.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of guys she tends to try and have sex with?
But Amber has an obsession with all men that look like her dad.
Tall, blonde, blue eyes. But, you know, there's hair dye and blue contacts. So we can figure it out. It's not an issue here for me.
Okay, so so he's saying she likes guys that look like her dad. I have dark hair, dark eyes. I could get my hair dyed and get my eyes
looking. I can fix that.
Yes. He is obsessed with her. At another part of the show, he goes, I'm obsessed with her. Which you can imagine is easily the case on a show like this. So then there are a couple of guys sitting around. They're talking about how beautiful the women are. One of the girls, and I believe, again, it's the porn star, falls asleep, and her top is half open.
Nice.
Yeah. And the guys just don't know what to do.
The women here are really beautiful, aren't they?
Insanely.
Oh, my God, they've been unleashed.
They've been unleashed is what he's saying when he's uh-huh. looking, and she's asleep.
What?
Sorry, Luke.
I can't look. I do not look down shirts.
I didn't mean to.
They covered her up.
They did?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a healing step.
Where are they from?
Yeah.
She's
well,
asleep.
The one guy, the British guy, is gay, so that's part of the part of how he's able to do it.
So basically, they're all falling in love with each other. They all want Dr. Drew, and we're on day, what, 3?
Yeah.
Wow.
This doesn't seem like it's going well.
People are going to explode some way or other.
Yes, they are. It's a powder keg, right? It's like going to rehab with heroin.
Yeah.
In the room.
Here's the thing, though, and this is we were talking about this a little bit last week too. Sex rehab is complicated more than some of the other addictions too, because it's something that you still want to be able to do when you get out of rehab. So how do you get to the point where you're healed enough to leave rehab, but still are able to have sex that isn't dangerous for you?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, this seems impossible. I can't wait to ask Dr. Drew. We have many questions.
Yep.
But here's my main question.
It's literally like my mother spewed out gold out of her vagina. I mean, look at me. I'm great.
Sorry, that was from the following show. Here's my question.
It's just so simple. I want to f*** every girl I see. Fix me.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. Sorry.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Monday. Very excited about our friend Bill Simmons, ESPN's The Sports Guy, coming up in the final hour of today's Kevin Bean Show. He has written a fascinating book called The Book of Basketball. Some of the stories that he tells in this book about how, for instance, the entire Los Angeles Lakers team almost died in a plane crash. I mean, those are the kind of stories that I didn't know about.
No.
I mean, really. And that as a result of that, the NBA instituted something called a contingency plan, which is what happens is if an entire franchise gets wiped out. How do you repopulate it for the next season?
Oh, that's creepy.
High school?
So, yeah, a fascinating, fascinating book with every aspect of basketball. We'll be talking to Bill Simmons later on today. Very excited about that. First, though, Kevin Amin, AfroLine is on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. You pick up the phone, give us a call on any topic. We play it back on the radio.
The people love us. That's one thing I know.
Uh-huh. This message is for Mr. Psycho Mike. Just want to let you know that I will be killing you within the next few days here. So, yeah, but I'll let you know. See you soon.
Nice. Yeah, heads up is always
nice.
Good.
Heads up, you can wrap
get
up
your
loose ends,
affairs in order.
Yeah,
right.
That's kind of cool. Hey, what a surprise! Ralph's sick today.
Hey, Ralphie boy. How are those Eagles going for you? Go Cowboys, bitch!
It has not been an easy year. Some weeks to be an Eagles fan this year. So.
All right.
That's a, he's got a beatboxing bong.
He does, that's true.
So I'm watching TV last night, and I come across a movie by the name of Rockstar. And you know how they say that the camera adds on 10 pounds? Well, in Kevin's case, it went straight to his head. That thing is so massive, man.
Yeah.
By the way, you look good in long hair. What I could do to that long hair.
Wow.
Oh, wow, that turned ugly.
Yeah. Wow, what a surprise. My head's big. Great. Thanks for the tip.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to let Miss Cleo know there's this really new hot song that they've been playing on the radio lately. It goes a little bit like this. Clocks, clocks, clocks with the clocks. Clocks, clocks, clocks with the clocks. Everybody!
That is a good song. I don't know if she's heard it yet, but that is good.
So I just listened to your segment on deleting things accidentally. And the guy from the seminary was on, who did the whole commentary on the Bible. And no one could come up with Jesus saves. You guys are fired.
Yeah, we did blow it. Good point.
Well, shouldn't that be on the dude who was in seminary, though?
Yeah.
Come on, the guy studied it. He can't come up with that? It's not our job.
Twice hearts. I'll be saying it now. I'll be saying it to the day I die. Twice hearts.
Psycho Mike was in Hollywood on Friday night at an event with the Twilight cast. And you saw too much of the Twitards for one evening, didn't you, Mike?
It was a Twitard extravaganza. It was unbelievable. Thousands of them gathered, and let me tell you something. This may come as a shock. They sure do love all the dudes in that movie.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
Wow, that is a shock. Never heard of that before.
What's with, and I know that there's no answer to this because teenage girls are teenage girls, but what's with screaming so much that the person that you're there to see can't even talk to you? There's no way you can even hear the person that you allegedly love who's trying to talk to you.
You know, I mean, we make fun, but I there's been times when, like, the Lakers win a championship or something and I'll go to, like, the parade. And I scream so much I don't hear what Kobe's saying, you know, so I can't point fingers. I
mean, they're
I
just do overwhelmed with emotion.
Yeah, I've gone to Slayer shows where I don't even hear the music. I'm just going crazy.
And by the way, that's saying something in a Slayer show when you can't hear the music. They tend to turn it up. So you know when you go to the dentist and they give your mouth a shot so that it numbs it up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That made this guy think of something that he heard on our show.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? I just got out of the dentist. And the first thing that I could think of as soon as I was driving home is, when I bet you last night, baby.
See, because
he's doing some Nate Dogg.
Nate Dogg
had a stroke.
Had a stroke. Aww. And he did put out the Nate Dogg stroke project.
If you know like I know, you knew to want to step this. It's a G-Funk era. Funk down.
Maybe he didn't have a stroke. Maybe he just came from the dentist.
See, all these years people have been making fun of us for talking about his stroke. Maybe he just had Novocaine.
If you smoke like I smoke, holler every day. And if your eyes are burning.
323-520-AFRO. Don't make music after you go to the dentist. That's what we've learned.
It is Monday. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Bill Simmons, the sports guy, his book on basketball coming up later on today. Also, you got into a fight at a movie theater. We're going to take your calls in about 20 minutes. Man, I wish I'd beaten the snot out of that guy who gave him the swine flu. Got to tell that story again, tell you how I failed. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you properly addressed the person who was ruining your movie-going experience. First, though, we want to talk about the band Kiss.
Hey, don't get me wrong, all right? I like to rock and roll all night, part of every day.
Party every day. Rock and roll all night and party every day.
I like to rock and roll part of every day.
Party every day.
I usually have errands. I can rock and roll from like 1 to 3.
Now, I know that Kiss is much maligned. They don't get taken seriously very often. I was shocked to see that they've actually been nominated to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but there's no chance that they're going to get put in because critics hate Kiss. Only the people like Kiss, and they've been around for like 40 years. They have an album in the top 10 this week, Kevin. The band Kiss has a top 10 selling album this week called Sonic Boom. So they're still out there and they're still making the Kiss Army proud.
So Gene Simmons plays an axe bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And he says everywhere he goes, people ask him how they can buy one. Well, now he's come out with a line of guitars that are Gene Simmons axe guitars.
Shocking.
Okay.
And apparently if you buy one, is there a meet and greet or something going on? So they gave a phone number here. I think it's in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
Where you could call if you're interested in checking on the bass guitar and or the meet and greet. So,
oh, fantastic.
Dial this up.
The Gene Simmons axe bass is by some accounts a piece of art numbered and signed by Gene Simmons. It's also his instrument of choice. As you mentioned, Kevin, he's been playing for decades around the world. Now people can own one just like it. And they get to meet the great Gene Simmons himself. So let's find out what's up.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
Is this Gene Simmons?
It is.
Oh. Hey, it's Kevin and Bean.
How are you? Oh, my friend.
Oh, personal service.
How about that?
Oh, I heard that voice. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Gene. How are you?
How are you?
Gene, we were just reading a story about your axe bass guitar.
That's right.
And they left a phone number to check on, you know, buying it or meeting you or whatever. I didn't know you would be.
Yes, naturally, I'm going to have them call directly to my business line. I don't want anybody else involved because, as you know, Kevin, because you're a very powerful and handsome man, when you involve other people, there's other people that take money away from you.
Right.
So
sure.
I have them directly call my business line. I'm sitting in my office having a cup of coffee. And, hello.
So, in other words, rather than pay a guy $10 an hour to answer phones and take orders, your time is not so valuable that you're going to do it yourself?
$10 an hour is $10 less an hour that I could be making.
That's true.
Okay.
Well, I guess when you... Well, you got all right. What's so special about this axe? Obviously, there are thousands of musical instruments. Why should people pay premium for one that looks like the one you play on stage?
You're right. You can go down to any musical shop and buy some guitar, some random guitar,
right,
and it's probably going to make the same noises and same sounds. What's special about this is that it's meticulously designed to appear just like an axe. And when I say just like an axe, you feel as if you could step right off stage with this guitar and split something in half.
Right.
Lisa May.
Yes,
speaking of splitting things in half, I'd like to try that on.
Let's keep it away from me. Keep it away from
It's made of hand-shaved mahogany.
Okay.
It's truly a beautiful guitar. You know, speaking of shaved wood.
I was there 30 seconds ago.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I'll be hearing you say that later.
Hand-shaved.
So people buy this, and
right,
they get to meet you also. You're having some sort of a meet and greet with every person who
That's
purchases
correct.
This particular guitar?
That's correct. It's a very limited amount. It's a very limited amount of these guitars being made, and they're all signed by Gene Simmons.
Right.
And you get a special meet and greet with me, and I think that really adds to the value of the package. Lisa May, speaking of meet and greet, I've got some meat right here.
Okay,
all right.
What about the package?
Some meat right here.
So, Gene, the band has been around since the early 1970s, and
correct,
is it not uncommon for people to want to pretend that they're in Kiss?
No.
I mean, is that part of the draw, is you get to people could dress up and play your instrument and feel like they are Gene Simmons?
Bean, you are exactly right. I know you are a member of the Kiss Army. You're a big fan. You've expressed that to me before when I've been on the show. And the appeal of Kiss is all in the theatrics, the bombastic and excessive nature of our live shows. And when fans come to a Kiss show, they go away wanting to be us. They want to grasp some part of that and take that home for their own.
Right.
And so not only am I offering a chance to own the actual instruments that we play on stage, you can also take home all the parts of a comprehensive package of what the Kiss stage show is. For instance, we're selling Kiss stage makeup.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was just the guitar.
No, we're actually releasing the official Kiss stage makeup, the actual makeup that we use backstage, Mrs. Stanley and I. So you can go home and you can decorate your face just like us. And Lisa May.
Oh, no.
You know, I was thinking about decorating faces.
And where are you?
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're talking about makeup
face,
here, Gene.
Your face came into my head.
You might want to go to Dr. Drew's rehab show.
That's even across the line.
And also we're releasing, pardon me, we're releasing the Kiss pyrotechnics explosive canisters.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, that sounds so dangerous for amateurs.
Well, it does, but, you know, it's something that you can learn to use in a safe manner, and the pyrotechnics are a huge part of the KISS show. Mm-hmm. So you can go home and just take that canister and have your own explosions.
Lisa May.
What? No, go ahead, Kevin.
No,
go ahead,
just, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, what were you going to say?
So you get to buy the actual fireworks, huh?
That's right, okay. And if you want to have an explosion of your own, Lisa May, I was thinking about explosions.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is out today. We're taking a look at the Showbiz Beat, and our producer Alex is going to fill in this hour. Although, having heard what she's been talking about for the last couple minutes before we went on the air, I don't know that I want somebody who loves Al Qaeda to be doing our Showbiz Beat. You know what I mean?
Should we toss her?
No.
I don't know. I don't know if I got time for Fort Hood today. I mean, seriously, we're all just trying to laugh it up, have a good time, and you're coming in here saying evil, mean things about hating America.
There's a time and a place for nips.
Right. And we're saying that time and place is everywhere and all time.
Not so much with the nipplage.
Especially with you guys,
how dare
by
you.
The way.
Especially with you. But what the audience should show it off, especially with us.
What the audience should know is the KRX studios are very, very chilly to keep the equipment nice and cool and running good.
Right.
So Lisa and I were talking about sometimes we have nip issues.
Right.
Right. And?
And that you're forced to wear sweaters and like bullet bras from Mad Men or something.
Lisa said she has special bras that prevent that. Special bras that prevent that.
Well, I just make sure that the bras that I wear to the work are the ones that have a little extra lining that, you know, they're actually advertised.
Man, it's not free. Pay up. T-shirt bras.
Guys, you guys are not getting any younger, and you could use whatever perkiness we can offer with the temperature. All right? That's what I'm saying.
Leave it to Bean.
Oh, my God.
Time for the Showbiz Bean. Here's producer Alex filling in for Ralph Garman. What you talking about, Alex?
I'm talking about how only Britney Spears could piss off an entire country.
Really?
Apparently, Australia? Not so happy with Brit. They're also a little slow. Apparently, there's been a big lip-sync controversy. Apparently, Australia didn't realize that Britney doesn't sing.
When did they know that for, what, 5 years?
Lip-sync? Fans walked out after only 3 songs at Perth's Burswood Dome on Friday, upset by her lackluster performance. Apparently, rumors of lip-syncing had been dodging Spears since she arrived in Australia. Spears mimed most of her songs on the stage, singing only ballads. Only slow songs. And then fans complained that Britney spent large portions of the show with her back to the audience.
Well, I know she was ticked off after the reviews of the first night in Australia, to which I say, hey, people in Australia, don't you have the internet? Weren't you aware of what a Britney Spears concert was going to be like before you paid money to go see it? She's been getting great reviews on this tour, despite the fact that she lip syncs, right?
Yeah, maybe Google doesn't go that far south. I don't know. But apparently, the government is not getting involved. Virginia Judge is the Minister for Fair Trading for New South Wales, and she's considering legal options to make sure fans in the future aren't misled by concerts, and says it's her job to make sure consumers know what they're paying for up front.
Look.
So they're thinking about labeling when you walk into an arena, if it's live music or if it's lip synced.
Well, I don't have a problem with that.
I can understand that because, in general, that's probably a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
With Britney, you've known that's what you get since she started her career.
True. Yeah.
If they're surprised, that's on them.
Best part, Britney's response, she holed up in her Perth hotel room all day on Friday. She didn't come out.
I'm not coming out.
She was pouting. Pouting. With room service and Twinkies.
Oh, leave Britney alone! By the way, while we're talking about being nipply, there's Britney who doesn't even try. Doesn't even try. Barely wears a bra.
No.
Oh, yeah, she drapes.
And that girl's had some kids.
Yeah.
And those
drapes them in, like, light chiffon.
Yeah.
Swing low.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be bad if they were of single mind of which direction to look at.
Yeah, it's not good.
It wouldn't be bad.
All right. Bean and I love this girl, Anna Friel from Pushing Daisies, RIP.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
She
yes.
is starring in the West End production of Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she had a major problem during one of her performances. Someone in the upper balcony became so sick that they vomited over the railing onto the heads of people in the loge.
Awesome. Oh,
and the smell of vomit wafted up to the stage, but Anna kept singing. She says in a recent interview, "I thought it was latecomers who shouldn't have been allowed in, but it turned out someone had vomited from the balcony over six people, and they were all being escorted out to be cleaned up. I carried on singing. Almost lost my way as there was such noise and smell coming from the seats."
She's a professional,
girl.
Yeah.
Thank you. We kind of already
That is just the early reviews on her performance. That's all.
No. Speaking of vomit,
I like the vomit went over the railing.
Yeah.
I like that.
Projectile.
Dive bomb the crowd below.
Speaking of vomit in theater, I want to thank Dave for this transition. Ashley Simpson, we can confirm, is headed to Broadway.
I just threw up.
Really?
Yeah, here's the problem. When you're canned off a CW show, that doesn't bode well. You're not supposed to go to Broadway because you're too bad for the CW.
Why would they say yes to her then?
I don't know. Gossip Cop confirmed that Ashley Simpson will be reprising the role of Roxy Hart in the Broadway production of Chicago.
Everybody does Chicago.
This December, it's going to run for 6 weeks. Go.
She doesn't have the chops for that role.
You're not at all.
Now? Question mark?
How many shows in are they going to can her? Three? Two? Three?
Four. Well, Broadway isn't doing well right now.
Yeah, I know.
So they need anybody.
The maybe the name value. I don't know.
I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
All right, reason number 800. I need to sleep with Daniel Craig. Besides the fact that he's a new awesome James Bond, apparently he's a very generous man.
Yeah.
According to Star Magazine, he was talking to a recent fan, and the fan was complimenting his Rolex. So what did he do? He gave it to him. He handed the fan his $7,000 Rolex.
That's bizarre.
Daniel Craig, I need you.
I just want to know something. Exactly how queer are you?
It's just an opening line for him.
Kevin hit the nail on the head last hour when he said that clearly the watch was fake.
I don't know. I think if you're Daniel Craig, you're like, okay, I'll give this guy a watch. I'll get a new one. He probably got it for free.
You can get a Rolex for $10 on the streets of New York. That's what I'm reminding you.
Yes, I know, but Daniel Craig doesn't lie.
You know, you are right. They do these gifting things.
He probably has 800. He's probably like lightning. Yeah. Here, take this one.
Boy, that was really gay.
You know, if you play James Bond, I bet you he probably has a high-end watch, like, endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
Like guys who play James Bond get a lot of, like, British sports cars and watches.
That's true, He can get another one.
Yeah. Hey, Psycho Mike, you want to dress like Kings of Leon?
Sure.
Because now you'll have your chance.
Does that mean you'll want him?
Our favorite.
If he does.
No, I want the drummer. Our favorite Kings of Leon, they're now moonlighting as clothing designers. British tabloid The London Sun reports the fellas are set to launch a line featuring bomber jackets, plaid shirts, really tight jeans, boots, belts, and bandanas. But unfortunately, they're only going to be sold in Copenhagen. What the F?
What?
WTF with that? Not,
you know, what's with that band, man? Aren't they all brothers or something?
I'm not saying I'm a fashionista. But they're only available in Copenhagen at a store called Paris, Texas. And they'll be available for overseas shipping in the United States in early December.
Yes.
How do you know?
He already put in his order.
Because Mike's so geek. Look at that gay smile on his face.
How are you that excited about it? I thought you were joking.
Because there's an article about that in like some men's fashion magazine. I know. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Because he wants to look like Jared and Nathan and get some punani. That's why.
Can't you buy girl jeans anywhere?
Wow.
Not that come from the Falwell brothers.
God, Bean.
What's going on here, Mr. Queermo?
That's a good question.
All right. Eminem is now going to make it to the silver screen. He's going to star and produce in a 3D horror film. The rapper has signed on for Shady Tales with a Z, so you know it's legit. The project also includes a series of four comic books from Marvel, and it's all going to happen in January 2010. Do you guys remember talking to Mark Heedley? I know Kevin won't.
No.
He left Scientology after 15 years. We spoke with him after he got out. He's writing a new tell-all book called Blown for Good, and he's got all the bizarre... yeah, I swear to God.
That's really? Ron Jeremy's book,
too. That's what it's called. Easy. Blown for Good, where he talks about the bizarre cult and everything that Tom Cruise does. So apparently they have this compound in Hot Springs, California, and anybody who works there is not allowed to watch TV or read newspapers. You're only allowed to watch news clips of Tom Cruise.
Wow,
dude. Apparently, they record all of Tom Cruise's appearances on TV shows or any mention, and then they edit them together into a video news piece.
Wow.
But they never show any bad news. So the real headline would have been, Scientologist Tom Cruise, the biggest movie star in the world, acts like a crazy person on Oprah. But what they saw was Tom Cruise, the biggest movie star in the world, is on Oprah. That they never let them know the real news.
I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm not gay! Go see my new movie! I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm not gay!
Heedley,
it has been rumored for a long time, excuse me, Alex, that he's being you know, prepped, he's being managed to eventually run Scientology, to be their supreme leader, right? To be the guy who leads them onto the spaceship when the day comes.
Absolutely. Healy also talks about what it entails to leave Scientology. He says, if you want to leave Scientology and publicly announce it, then you run a high risk of being branded a suppressant. You will not be able to speak to your mother or your children or your family members again for the rest of your life if they are still a part of Scientology. If you leave and you say, I don't want to do this in the cult anymore and I don't want to be here, then you are punished. You are threatened with psychological and physical harm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Let's go. Okay.
Good times.
Good church.
And this story is just for Kevin. It's for Kevin and all of our listeners in South Korea, because, you know, we're big there. Drivers of South Korea, beware. A 68-year-old woman has finally passed her written driver's exam. Just the written one.
For the first time?
After taking it, how many times do you think she took it?
I can't 20? Play because I heard this already.
950.
What?
Ready for a name?
Don't you at, but sum it, like right about 900, don't you go.
This is just the written
stop
exam.
Stop coming in.
Cha Sasoon.
Hey.
Cha Sasoon spent $4,200 in exam fees. Took the test 950 times, passed on her 951st time. She earned the lowest possible score to pass.
Oh, my God.
And that's just the written. She hasn't yet taken the road test. I hope
well,
it's a closed course.
If,
I really
if Ralph weren't out today, we would already be talking to her. So maybe tomorrow.
Cha Sasoon.
I know her brother from now.
Oh, would you like to take that back?
Put it in the file.
We're good. All right. I'm Alex. I walk the show.
A couple weeks ago, I got the swine flu, and I told you guys how I think I got it. And this is me being, I'm the one who lives on the island, who rarely leaves his home, so I very, very rarely come in contact with people. I mean, I don't even go out to the front door when the UPS guy shows up. I wait till he leaves, then I go get my package. I can go a week at a time without seeing another human being, okay?
Okay.
So I'm in the movies, and I go because it's a special occasion. It's my wife and I, our wedding anniversary. So we went to see Where the Wild Things Are, and it was just us in the theater with one other person. Okay.
Total.
The
one, just you and total, that one guy.
Three of us. Yeah. 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. There's three of us in the movie theater. Two of us were not hacking up along every 15 seconds. One of us was, and that was the guy who was sitting in the front row in the movie theater. And at first I thought, well, you know, maybe he's got something in his throat. He's got a little bit of a cough. He's going to work it out during the previews. Well, then when the movie started, he continues to cough. And I mean a deep cough every 20 to 30 seconds. So two or three times a minute, this guy is hacking, right? And I don't know whether he thought he was trying to be considerate by coming on a weekday afternoon where there weren't going to be very many people in the theater that he could bother. But he certainly didn't care that there were two other people who were having the movie ruined. So I'm in a movie theater, and this is the topic that we're going to get into, is what do you do in a situation where you've got somebody who's talking too much, or who's on the phone, or who's texting, or who's just generally making it difficult for you to enjoy the movie?
Blows to the dome, dude.
What do you do? Well, I didn't think about going up and just hitting them. That never even occurred to me.
How does that not even occur to you?
Because you just don't go and start hitting people. You try diplomacy first,
no,
don't you?
No, this is kinder. This is putting him out of his own misery.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You care about him.
So, and I wasn't insensitive to the fact that maybe he had something really wrong with him. You know, maybe the guy's got emphysema. I don't know what the dude's deal is, but I do know that it didn't seem appropriate for him to be out in public at a movie theater where he's coughing so much, right? So I went up to him and I said, and by the way, I put my hand over my mouth when I went up to talk to him because I was conscious of the fact that he could have the swine flu. It could be contagious. I said, hey, are you going to stay for the whole movie with that cough? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, you're kind of making it hard for us to enjoy the movie because you're coughing so much. And he said, oh, well.
All
so,
right. Now,
so that is when
that's what blows,
blows
to the dome.
To the dome. That's what happened.
Yeah, at that point, I'm sure you're thinking it's odd, right? So I go back and I'm fuming. And now, of course, clearly I'm not at all enjoying the movie at this point, right? Because all I know, and here's the thing. When a guy is coughing every 20, 30 seconds, as soon as he finishes one cough, in your mind, you're just waiting for the next one because you know it's coming. So I wait another minute or two and he's still coughing away. And apparently he wasn't embarrassed enough by me talking to him that he got up and left the theater. So he's digging in. He's staying for the film. So I thought, well, what do I do now? I got up and I went out and I talked to the teenager who's working the door. And I said, look, I got a guy in my movie theater who's coughing every 20 seconds. Is there any way you can have somebody, you know, come in and take a look at it and see if, you know, maybe he can be asked to leave or something like that? Oh, yeah, sure. We'll do that. Well, nobody ever came. Movie theater guy didn't come. He never came and peeked in.
That is so lame.
If I'm coughing guy, by the way, at that point, I move closer to you.
Well, I did get up within the seconds of him sitting down and cough, cough, cough. I did get up and move completely to the other side of the theater, A, to get further away from the noise, and B, because I was afraid he's going to have the swine flu and he's going to give it to me, which apparently is what ended up happening because I've been sick for 2 weeks since that
Only
happened.
Only because you approached him. He wouldn't have given it to you if you stayed in your seat.
Well, you might be right about that. So, and again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've been in a situation where you've had something happen in a movie theater, how did you handle it? And here's what I want to know. Do you go to the people in the movie theater, or do you just assume that they can't do anything for you? My guys never came in. They never tried to help me. They clearly didn't care. So after the movie, and most people I don't think would take this step, but I'm pretty pissed off at this point. After the movie, I went up to the customer service desk and I said, look, I came out, I complained to somebody who worked for your theater. They never came in. The guy never should have been allowed to be in the theater and stay like that. And the guy's like, well, I'm sorry I had a bad experience, but you know, if we'd have come in and he was just coughing, he wasn't doing it on purpose. It's not like he was talking on his phone or something. We probably wouldn't have even asked him to leave anyway.
Really?
I think that's wrong. If a bunch of, I mean, I don't care how many people are in the theater, but if you're paying money to enjoy an experience and someone is clearly ruining it for you, I think you do have a right to ask them to leave. I mean, I think they have a responsibility.
I agree with that. The impression I got from the dude at the movie theater was that he would be worried about, you know, some sort of repercussions on him if a guy, you know, has a, you know, a discrimination complaint or something like that. If a guy has a condition, a health condition.
Right.
He was worried that, you know, the guy wasn't doing it on purpose, so therefore it was a gray area that he would ask him to leave.
Cut to an hour later when they were all trying to avoid Bean, and he was going, but he was coughing!
You don't understand. It was a deep cough. It was a deep hacking cough.
I had an experience at the Titanic where the people behind us had seen the movie before.
You were on the Titanic?
Wow.
You look good.
One of the people had seen the movie before and was explaining it as it went along. This is a three-hour movie.
Love that.
All during the movie. So finally I turned around and said, I'm sorry, can you please stop talking? It's really bothering us. And then they started kicking the back of our chairs.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
And yeah.
And that's when
and
you flew into
action.
And
then they went out to go to the bathroom and slammed into the chair. And
a lot of times what seems to happen in those movie situations is you're the a-hole for infringing on their ability to talk or
yes.
laugh or text or sing or whatever it is they want to do in the theater.
Sorry, did you say sing?
Or whatever they want to do. All I know is that Kevin is right because he never goes to the movies without a BB gun. And that's really what I should have done. If I'd have had a BB gun, I swear to God that guy would have not stayed in the theater coughing if I would have hit him in the back of the head with a BB gun every time he coughed.
Air horn works as well.
I like that.
A little bit of a shocker for everybody else. It's not quite as quiet as a BB gun.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, should I have just gotten up and left when it was evident that I wasn't going to get any help from the theater and the guy was going to continue to cough?
Here's all I know. If I was in the theater.
Kevin sounds like he's being irrational, but being that guy drew a line in the sand by saying, and so.
Oh, well.
He clearly is trying to act like a tough
really,
guy.
But really, what do you think he should have done?
Bean?
Yeah.
The guy was sitting down. Bean's tall. He's at the perfect height.
Bean's never going to hit
Fedor
anyone.
Fedor the guy's head right off. Sidekick. Ah! Done.
Yeah!
And you know what happens then? I'm arrested for assault. That's what happens. There's no legitimate excuse for hitting the guy. As much as you may want to, you can't get away with
it. It's funny
Plus,
to say it, but you're not going to do
Bean
it.
Bean is 6'6", and I still don't think he could get his foot that high.
It is funny to say, and you should do it, and I've done it and had it done to me so many times. As you guys are doing this topic, I'm starting to think of like, oh man, remember the time when? And now all these instances are coming back to me.
It was back when you were a heavy drug user?
Yes.
And no, a lot of times it was I was a little kid. Some were very recently. I remember when I went to see, do you guys remember a movie Bebe's Kids? It was
yes.
an animated movie? Okay.
Yes.
So I went to go see that when it came out. I was probably in sixth grade, and I went to a theater in northern Pasadena, which is in an area that's almost exclusively African American.
Okay.
So we get in, and the theater is packed, and it's my friend and I, and we are the only people in the theater that are not black.
Okay.
That did not bode well for us.
Just because...
Yeah, I mean, we were obviously keeping quiet, and we were little. I mean, we didn't have any ability to act like jackasses. And these kids in front of us who were probably high school age, just they wanted to make it their goal to pick on us, you know, and they were going to... And finally, it just got to the point where one guy turned around and bitch slapped me right in the face. Just smacked my face. Yeah. So I didn't know what to do. I mean, how do you react? I mean, what am I... I can't fight back. So we just didn't leave. That was like my way of like really showing
show
I had
them.
Balls. I just didn't. I just sat there and
you cried like a little girl.
Yeah, deep down, I wanted to cry. I was so scared. Recently, I went to see a movie and a kid was on a cell phone for practically like not texting. He was on his phone. It was great. I went to see Gran Torino, and in the middle of the movie, I was like, "Hey, dude, come here!" And he looked. He stopped his conversation. I grabbed the phone out of his hand. And I threw it in the back of the theater.
Yes,
like full, like a picture.
Nice.
Yeah, and he was like,
"That I support."
Again, he was like in seventh grade, so he wasn't going to do anything. I just sat there and looked at him. He just put his head
so
down.
You're a tough guy. Yeah.
All right,
Before we go to your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Here's what Tisha says: I should have done in the situation that I was in 2 weeks ago. Since there were only three of you in the theater, you should have done everything you could to ruin his movie experience. You should have moved closer to him intentionally, started making cell phone calls, being loud and boisterous, talking to your wife, being as annoying as possible to make sure that he didn't enjoy the film either.
I like it.
Well, yeah.
That just sounds
mutual
like a downward spiral.
No, so. It's mutual destruction. You're going to take me down? I'm going to take you down.
1-800-520-1067. We have a full rack of calls. Let's see how many ended up in fights in the parking lot. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and hear my whole thing.
Yeah.
When I go to the movies, I'm there to see and hear the movie.
Yeah.
Not so much you, the other patron in the theater.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Not you texting. That drives me nuts.
People texting, yeah.
Yeah. But because I can see the light. I know
you
it doesn't
text
bother
him to
you,
stop
Kevin.
It.
Kevin seems to manage to be pretty laissez-faire about the whole thing. I wish I could be more like you.
I just...
That it doesn't drive me crazy.
Tune it out, and if not, I take their heads off. You know what I mean? I just choke them out.
All right, let's squeeze in a few phone calls. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Why don't we start with Javier? He's on line one at 1-800-520-1067. Javier, you heard about my awful movie-going experience that ended up giving me the swine flu. What happened to you?
Yeah, guys, just real quick, I want to say Santa Monica can lick my chode. It's all about West Covina!
Yeah!
Right!
Well done. Well done. Let's try Heather, who used to be a theater manager on line three. Heather has had to have seen this a bunch of times. Hey, Heather, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi, Heather.
You were a manager at a theater?
I was.
People
for a
come
while.
Out all the time and complain about other people in there?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
So, what did you people do? What did you people do?
Well, anytime they came out there, if it was legitimate, I mean, if someone was coughing and they thought they had swine flu, I would have kicked them out too, because, I mean, I wouldn't want to sit there for that. I'd rather just refund their money and have them walk out.
Right.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have had any problem. If you'd have been the manager in my theater, you would have gone up to the guy who was hacking along and you would have said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
I would have said, if anything, for the interest of not getting our employees sick, that I would have asked him to leave. I'd rather refund him and have him mad than an entire theater of sick people and sick staff.
All right, what do you do if he says no?
If you say no, well, then that's what security's for.
All right.
And do most movie theaters have security, big guys that are actually physically going to make somebody leave? Wow.
The theaters I worked at actually had armed security.
Wow.
Wow.
You work in special neighborhoods. It's called, most of the other ones get Paul Blart. You got actual armed security.
I'm impressed.
All right. Thank you, Heather.
Let's try David. He's on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. David, sounds like you've had some bad times in a theater, too.
Yeah, forget West Covina. This is Santa Monica.
Damn it.
What is going on today?
It's a war.
What's happening?
I don't know, but I love it.
Let's try Julius, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Julius, what happened to you?
I was actually watching a movie, and this couple behind me was talking really loud, like when the whole theater was silent. I turned around and told them, yo, guys, can you kind of bring down the volume? The guy got up, started yelling at me. He was making this huge scene. Basically, every single person in the theater is looking at us. And I said, you know, honestly, can you please just quiet down? That's all I'm asking you. And so he tries to throw a swing at me, and I guess for some reason there must have been water on the floor. So basically, he throws a swing, falls over the the chair because I was sitting in front of him and basically knocks his face on the armrest and breaks his nose.
That is the best story.
You were so happy.
I started laughing so much. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
You're like
in my
a
life.
Ninja. You don't even have to engage that guy to win.
It was funny because I just stood there and then moved back and he swung forward, fell over, and broke his nose right there.
Awesome.
Wow.
Now, did he get up and leave after this or did you both sit back down and start watching the movie again?
Actually, he started crying.
Awesome.
He started crying. That story has everything.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Dan. He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dan, a knife was involved in your movie theater going experience?
Yeah. I was about 16 years old, maybe like 8 years ago. Out in Anaheim Hills, nice part of town, thinking life's good, watching Fast and the Furious. And we try to sneak a few of my buddies in the exit. And so we get in, we're kind of bragging about it, like, oh, we got in, we didn't have to pay. And this guy gets a little bothered, tells the security guys, they come in and say they didn't want to sneak in. We say, no, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I call the guy out, I'm like, hey, buddy, that was messed up. And he just loses it. He starts freaking out, his wife's trying to hold him back, he's trying to run around. He ends up pulling a knife on us.
Yes!
And mind you, I'm with like 5 dudes and this one guy. So I'm like, oh, we got numbers. So I stand up. All my buddies shrink back in their seats. And I am left like just hanging there. This
Come on, guys. Who's with me?
What
Come
happened?
On.
I'm looking around like, let's get him. And like, nothing. And so I have to sit my butt back down on the chair. And then I tell the security guys. And all they do to handle the situation is put one little 16-year-old kid sitting in between us two to protect us.
He left the guy with the knife in?
Yeah, they let him stay.
Wow.
So, how about that? Good times.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's try Derek if we have time. He's on line 8. Lisa, he's with you on hating the textures in movie theaters. Hi, Derek. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Derek.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Texting is my biggest pet peeve in a movie theater. Every time I see a texture, I kid you not, there's like this volcanic rage inside of me. I know what Adam Carolla feels like on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And so I was watching Where the Wild Things Are, and, you know, there's this dude texting during the previews. Not a big deal for me. I can let it slide. But
yeah, because you think, previews, you know, not everyone's paying attention. All right, but he'll get it under control when the movie starts.
Yeah, definitely. You know, movies are 90 minutes so that people don't have to use the bathroom and don't have to get up continually. You know, if you can't live without your phone, I told the guy, if you can't live without your phone for 90 minutes, kill yourself.
Good.
Kill yourself.
And did he?
He lost it. He absolutely lost it. He wanted to see me outside in the parking lot and, you know, so I'm not a fighter. I was just there with my girlfriend, and so I'm going out to my car, and I see him in front of his giant lifted truck with his Affliction shirt, and he's just like ready to throw down. Like, really? Because somebody told you to put your phone away, you know, you're ready to go to war.
Right. And did you?
No.
It's amazing to me that he had time to fight you when he needed to text.
Yeah.
How does he do that?
How does he carve out the time in his daily schedule?
Ass.
What ended up happening? You just got in your car and drove away like a little pussy?
Oh, come on, you guys.
I just went home. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
So you quit and ran, basically. Is
wow.
So you hate America. Okay.
I support you, Derek.
The terrorists win. That's what happens. When good people do nothing.
That's right.
The terrorists win.
Hey, before we get to Harvey Levin, got something new you want to play for us, right?
Well, I do. First, I want to remind you where it came from, which is, of course, the contest of the title fight. Miss Cleo trying to give clues to times like these without using the word times like or these.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock.
So that happened.
Well done. Beautiful.
And then, of course, there was the European dance remix.
A clock, clock, with a clock, and it's those and, with a clock, and it's and, clock, similar to, clock, clock, with a clock.
So you got that.
Okay, and now?
And now there's a new one, and I don't know if you've heard it yet, but I think you'll like it.
Clock, 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 with a clock, 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 those and, clock, 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 similar to, clock, clock, clock. With the clock, 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 those and clock, 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 and it's similar to a clock.
Wow.
Come on now.
That's awesome.
Miss Cleo is a dance music sensation. She's blowing up all over the world with the clock song. That's what happens, though. A song comes out, it's hot, and then every remixer wants to get a hold of it and do their... I mean, the Travis Barker remix will be here by the end of the week, the way things are going.
I hope.
Beautiful.
I hope. I would like to challenge our listeners to put together some remixes of that as well.
Very sure. Cool.
And by the way, you can get most or all of what you've just heard available in the Download Rodeo at KevinandBean.com. It is Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television? He joins us now on the show to give us an update on what's going on with the celebs.
He's joins us in a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it said on hold.
It does say on hold. Doesn't mean on hold.
Okay, oh, there you go. Okay. Now we got him.
Okay. Hi, Harvey.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Harvey.
How are you?
You having a busy morning?
I am having a busy morning.
What a surprise for you. Normally, it's very laid back.
Sorry about that.
No, no worries.
No, it's fine, Harvey. We always appreciate when you're able to squeeze in time to talk to us. Let's catch up on a couple things real quick. Did you watch the Rihanna interview on 2020 last week?
Watched a little of it. I was traveling, but I watched a little of it.
Mm-hmm. It was the number one show of the night. It was the first time she has spoken out, talked about what was going on with Chris Brown. And I guess if there were any bombshells that came out of it, it was revealed that she did not decide to leave him after she was beat up that night. She was still willing to give him another chance after that until she came to her senses.
Well, remember we kind of knew that. Remember, I don't know, a week afterwards, we saw her, and we knew he was as well at P. Diddy's place in Miami.
Right,
that's right.
And remember, he was jet skiing and smiling, and everybody criticized him for that.
That's right, yeah.
And Rihanna was there. So we knew they were staying at the same place, and there were stories there that P. Diddy was kind of a peacemaker there, but there were a lot of rumors that she had gone back with him, because we knew that shortly after she called the police, she had a change of heart. And she kind of waffled back and forth. And, you know, it all kind of fits together with what she said on 2020.
Right. And isn't Chris, I mean, Chris Brown is, I know Rihanna's got a new record coming out, but isn't Chris Brown also kind of on a tour a little bit, trying to continue to rehab his image because he's trying to release a new record in time for Christmas too?
Yeah, they're all, I mean, it's so interesting that they all kind of use this,
yeah,
did you guys see the Agassi interview last night, which I thought was really good?
I didn't watch it, but I heard that he was admitting that he did meth while playing tennis.
Well, I mean,
it's really the only way to play tennis.
Well, I mean, it's in the book, but you know, again, so interesting that, you know, all of these revelations, you know, and at the same time when a book came out, although he, you know, he had a really good story to tell. I mean, that was different, obviously, than Rihanna and Chris Brown, but I don't know, I found that particularly interesting.
He was, and
very frankly said, look, I should have never married Brooke Shields. It was a bad match. It was a mistake. And he was essentially saying I was on drugs.
Oh, wow.
And he hated tennis, too. I mean, that's something you don't expect to hear from a guy who's one of the greatest players of all time.
Hated tennis with a passion.
Wow.
His dad gave him no option. He said, look, tennis is way more important than education. Education just gets in the way.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he just despised it.
Am I strange? I don't want to read a book about a guy who reached that level of success and hated every second of it.
Really? I do. I think it's fascinating.
Too. I think it's really interesting.
All right, let's get to the real story. Carrie Prejean. Okay. Let's talk about her. Carrie Prejean. Sex tape, which we talked about last week. And we said, hey, if only we had friends that had seen it and could, on the sly, send it on over.
God.
Now, the latest the latest entry, Harvey, on your site is that her mom walked into the room while she was videotaping or was in the room?
No, Kevin.
She was, her mom was doing it?
No, God.
All right, what was it?
Her mom was in the settlement negotiation.
Oh!
And when they played the tape, her mom was sitting there.
Very different. Okay.
So her book came out today, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Her book came out at 9 this morning in New York. So one of the paragraphs, unfortunately, pornography has become mainstream. It rushes at us through big screens, portable screens. Softcore porn is on mainstream TV,
right,
cable stations. Hardcore porn is just a mouse click away on the internet.
Thumbs up so far.
And the envelope of what seems acceptable seems to get pushed further and farther as more and more people are exposed to this material. Well...
Yeah.
She kind of contributed to that, didn't she?
Yeah.
I sort of have a boner.
You can't complain about pornography if you're making your own. I'm sorry, Carrie. You can't have it both ways,
well, clearly,
right?
Clearly, this book was written before she knew that anyone had this tape.
Well, but still, I mean, Lisa May, the result.
But we know she's a liar.
The result is that girls grow up in a culture where it is hard to have an innocent, healthy, normal view of themselves.
And that's why.
Well, maybe she's
she
trying to make
that?
Excuses for herself.
Look, here's all I know is we found out about the Carrie Prejean sex tape, I think, on Thursday. It never appeared Thursday. Friday, we found out. We knew it was still out there. Harvey still didn't send it over.
Well, check the
I sat my computer all day Saturday, right. No note from Harvey. Sunday came and went, still no views on my computer of the Carrie Prejean sex tape. Now it's Monday, and I still don't know where to find it, Harvey.
And meanwhile, somebody on my staff comes up to me and says, one of you schmoes is coming over here like the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, kind of looking around to see what they can find.
It's listen, we're giving you fair warning. We'd like to see the tape. And not for on the air. This is not for our listeners. This is just for our period interest.
I know it is, but come on.
We're going to give you till 10, Harvey.
can I just say?
Yes.
I'm going to fall for that. That you would look at something like this and you just would never mention it on the air.
Well, I wouldn't say I wouldn't mention it, but we can't show it, obviously, yeah. Right?
You can't show it because you do radio, dude.
Oh, right. Listen.
But we can't put it up on our website or anything.
10 a.m.
Or
dude.
Distribute it.
10 a.m. That's what you got.
And my problem is that I am unclear what a masturbation video looks like, so I need to have yeah, I need right. to have something to compare it to when you say those words. That's all. All right, Harvey Levitt, of course, is the head cheese at TMZ.com, TMZ Television.
Which, by the way, is 4 years old.
Congratulations!
Just turned 4 years
no
old.
No kidding! Wow! Yeah.
How about that?
And people laughed at Harvey. I want to remind you that those who can't remember what a world existed like before TMZ. People laughed at Harvey when he started the thing, saying, "Yeah, the last thing we need is another website for gossip and showbiz." Right, Harvey?
I remember.
Yeah.
Yep. Good times. Always great, man. Kevin, I'll see you over there in the office in a couple of hours.
See you, guys.
Dude.
What?
What?
This is not the Kevin and Bean show. In for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat, since he's out today.
For
the
Eagles?
This is for the Philadelphia Eagles?
No, actually it's not. Although if Ralph were here, I would enjoy bringing that up right now. No, I just, I hate to be the guy who brings the bad news to you, but I don't know if you're going to want to even get up and go to work or school or whatever you have planned today when you find out that it looks like Aerosmith has broken up. Joe Perry, guitarist for the band, says that Steven Tyler has quit the band as far as I could tell.
Wait. As far as I can tell, apparently he quit the band or he didn't.
Apparently they've been having some troubles. They have no contact whatsoever outside of the time that they're on stage. They literally have dressing rooms that are far apart, and they see Steven Tyler when he walks on stage to do an Aerosmith show.
Right.
I didn't know this, by the way. Joe Perry said that they have not written a song together in like 20 years. They haven't actually sat down and written a song together.
That's
in like
because he's been doing these Disney songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's been doing the...
I wish they would have quit, stopped making music in 1983.
When they were making good music. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that would have been the best case scenario, would have been a tragic plane crash that killed them all. In about 1983, we would remember Aerosmith as one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, instead of praying for this day to get here where it looks like they finally split. Steven Tyler, by the way, says that he still has lots of plans to make music. He just wants to do it in a different direction with different people. I can't imagine what that's going to sound like. But they've been together since 1971, by the way.
Wow. They put in their time, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe it's okay. So maybe take back the whole taps thing. Maybe you're going to be fine. Maybe your day is going to be just as good as before with Aerosmith broken up.
Jared Osborne is my hero for many reasons. Britain's Got Talent is the one where that phenomenon Susan Boyle showed up. And then there were a billion hits on YouTube because she had such an amazing voice and she was so ugly.
She'd never been kissed.
Never been kissed. She was a virgin.
Yeah.
Well, and it's important to mention that. The reason it was such a phenomenon, the reason it had 40 million hits on YouTube, is because you don't expect the voice of an angel to come out of a package like that. Had she been a regular-looking girl or a good-looking girl, it wouldn't have been exceptional at all in most people's mind to have her be such a great singer. That was the hook.
I think the hook, even sound down, you go, whoa! You know, it has nothing to do with their singing. Well, apparently Sharon Osbourne agrees. The New York Post page 6 gossip column reports that Sharon gave an interview that God gave Susan the talent but beat her with an ugly stick.
Oh, come on.
And suggested someone hand her a Gillette razor. Argue it, though, Lisa.
I can't
Is
argue it.
Not
it just
true.
Seems unnecessarily cruel.
Do you think if people had the choice to take that trade-off, to be insanely talented but ugly, or be good-looking and of average ability, do you think there's anybody who would take the ugly but talented?
I don't think so.
No.
Really?
Huh? If you have a dream of being exceptional in something since you're a little kid, a lot of times people would take it, do anything to be, you know, to have that exceptional talent.
You know,
so
a guy
like Psycho Mike, for instance, who loves music and would love to be in a successful rock band. I mean, would you be ugly? Would you be Angus Young if you could be in a band as big as AC/DC?
Totally.
I guess is what I'm asking.
Totally.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's a perfect example.
Yeah, because in that case, it doesn't affect your ability to get chicks.
Yeah, right. If you're, yeah,
you'll
I guess,
be
yeah.
as successful if you're in a successful band. You'll be great with the girls.
Would you look like Gene Simmons if you could be in a band as big as Kiss, Mike?
That I don't know. Not because Gene's super ugly or anything. Just because I wouldn't want to be. I'd do it more to be like a virtuoso. You know,
yeah.
Like something you could never be on my. I could never be Eddie Van Halen on my own. You have to be born
right.
That way. So to be Eddie Van Halen, I would look like Joey Ramone or. Wow,
you go that far?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, Susan Boyle, by the way, is going to be singing that same song, "I Dreamed a Dream," on Dancing with the Stars tomorrow night. If you want to see how ineffective her makeover was after she became famous, because she doesn't
still,
look any better than she. Yeah,
still ugly.
Box office over the weekend, Michael Jackson finally slipped out of number one. His movie made another $14 million over the weekend. It placed it at number two. Number one was A Christmas Carol, the new Jim Carrey holiday film, just in time for Christmas. $31 million at the box office over the weekend. Number three was The Men Who Stare at Goats. Kevin, your review? You're one of the few people I know who not only read the book, but has seen the movie.
It was really good. Had a great cast. It was really good. It wasn't as good as the book. The book was amazing, but only because of the realness. The people in our actual military that actually believe this stuff is the scary part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when you mm-hmm. see the movie,
it
you
almost
don't...
makes it look like a work of fiction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the beginning, it does say, these are more real than you would imagine.
Yeah.
But that's the only nod to it.
The Fourth Kind, the latest alien movie, debuted at number four at the box office over the weekend. $12.5 million. Paranormal Activity at number five. The Box.
Yeah!
Number six, Couples Retreat came in at number seven. Law Abiding Citizen was eight. Where the Wild Things Are nine. And Astro Boy rounds out your top ten.
Let's say that you are in a line to get Taylor Lautner's autograph with your mom. The New Moon star is doing an autograph sign.
Okay.
Your mom is standing there with you. Star Magazine says, in this particular case, mom asked Taylor Lautner to sign her underwear.
Oh, that's just wrong.
Can you imagine if you're the daughter?
Creepy.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Mom, you would have to run, wouldn't you? You'd have to run.
Yeah.
Have to literally just hoof it. Get away from there.
Psycho Mike, you were hanging out with Taylor Lautner and the other Twilight cast members on Friday night in Hollywood. He doesn't need the moms, right? He's got plenty of the fans.
No, he's one of those can't figure out life because he's so good looking. Like, you start to question all that you know of science when you see a man that handsome.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and you're like, I don't know if you guys know this. The guys in Twilight are really good looking.
Yeah.
Kind of did know that. Yeah.
But Mike, you're going to have to wait for a year until he gets of age before you can start thinking of him that way.
What?
Yeah, he's only 17.
Ooh.
Yeah. Bill Simmons, ESPN's The Sports Guy, joins us in minutes on The Kevin and Bean Show to talk about his new basketball book, currently number one on the New York Times nonfiction list. That's on the way. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about the man who will always be known as the Incredible Hulk on TV from the 1970s, Lou Ferrigno? You saw him not too long ago, and I Love You Man also. He is 58 years old today. Lou, do you have any thoughts on what you're going to do with your birthday today?
Oh.
That's you, Lisa.
Oh.
Me.
You have a very specialized group
That's
of voices.
You play all the deaf guys. Come on.
Not me.
Usually I don't do the guys.
You're
all
right. Specialist.
I'm going to have a birthday party, and we're going to have candles and cake, and then I'm going to a movie.
All right, take it easy. We don't need a whole book.
Lisa, you know when someone's deaf, their ears don't work, not their jaw.
This is my interpretation.
Okay.
This is
it's
my
good.
Art.
It's right. good.
Sorry.
If you have your art, why don't
yeah.
you have your art ready to go next time?
I will. I'm sorry.
MTV personality and hottie actress Vanessa Minnelli is 29 years old today. Eric Dane is McSteamy from The Grey's Anatomy. He is 37 years old today. Nick Lachey, formerly of 98 Degrees and formerly married to Miss Jessica Simpson, is 36 today. Peppa from Salt and Peppa is 45. But the reason we celebrate, the reason it ought to be a holiday today, is the guy who brought us the thong song, ladies and gentlemen, Sisqó. Is 34 today. Hit it, Steve.
Let me see that song.
That was That was the golden age of pop music right there. Remember the good old days? And that is the Showbiz Beat. We're still doing Book Club Monday, right? Still, yeah. Book Club Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Okay, good. I was afraid that we had scheduled this on the wrong day. Ladies and gentlemen, very excited to welcome to the studio the author of the Book of Basketball, currently number one on the nonfiction list in the New York Times. How about this? Bill Simmons, ESPN's The Sports Guy.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Number one, dude.
I know. I'm glad you led with 1979. You led to my interview because that was the last time the Sonics won the title. I felt there was a little symmetry there.
Used to be a team called the Sonics, actually, now that you mentioned it. Bill, I don't know where to start with this book, but it is great. I read a lot of it over the weekend. First of all, it is a 700-page book with no pictures, first of all. You should know that.
Wow.
Okay. Is it true, or were you joking when you wrote on one of your blogs over the weekend that somebody tried to fire a bullet through it and couldn't make it all the way through the book?
No, that's true. That happened on the ESPN2 show, Sports Nation, and page 552, stop the bullet.
How about that?
Yeah. So then they used like another bigger gun, and they blew it away like it was like an assassination. It was terrible.
Now, you've read books.
Yeah.
Okay. 700 pages.
Well, here's my thing.
To me, I go, I'm out. I can barely skim books that are 200 pages with pictures.
My thinking was that it's a book that's a nonfiction book.
Right.
So it's like, it's not like a Civil War novel where you're starting it, but you get knocked away from it for a week and then you can't remember like, well, who was the person who lived in the plantation?
Yeah.
It's the NBA. You know all the characters and, you know,
if you put it down for a while and come back to it, it's fine. You'll
totally
pick it right
and
up.
Also, it's like a lot of times more isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like if Mad Men had decided, hey, instead of 12 episodes, we're going to do 17.
Right.
I wouldn't have been like, ah, that's too much Mad Men. No, you can't do that. So I was never worried about it.
There's so many things in the book that were new to me. I consider myself a casual basketball fan, but you are a student of the game, and I learned so much about the old days of the NBA. In fact, I didn't even realize that until the mid '80s, the NBA was not really that popular in this country.
No,
I mean that was shocking to me that it almost sounded like a sport that I just assumed had always been hugely popular. It sounded like they really had to work hard to continue to draw fans and get on television.
Yeah, they had some issues. I don't think. You know, a lot of people have mentioned this to me. I always thought people knew this, but like, you know, the finals were tape delayed.
They were?
I watched the 1981 Celtics won game six, won the championship, and we had to stay up till 11:30 at night. That's when the game started in Boston. In Boston was tape delayed, but, you know, that CBS just didn't care about the league, and there was this perception that the league was too black, all the guys were on drugs. You know, like Sports Illustrated, there were articles. Sports Illustrated in the late 70s had articles about, is this league too black? That
really?
Was an actual article by Sports Illustrated.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at what was happening in society, you know, Hollywood, cocaine, music, cocaine, the whole disco era.
Right.
Everybody was doing cocaine.
Right.
But in basketball, you notice when the guys are doing cocaine because you have these guys wearing tight jerseys and shorts and they're bleary-eyed and they're stumbling around. It's like, whoa, this isn't good. So,
And it was also almost a fairly modern approach to the game to take it seriously, to actually practice, to actually watch tape. I mean, a lot of that stuff for decades in the NBA, people literally just showed up and played, right?
Really?
Right. Yeah, actually, it is totally different. I wrote in the book in the 1964 finals, they said the key thing for that finals, the Celtics won, was that Tommy Heinsohn, who was Boston's power forward, he quit smoking a couple weeks before the playoffs.
Really?
He had a great playoffs because it was like, his lungs were doing better. But it was just not until like the early 70s did they have like, you know, morning shoot-arounds. Did they do stretching? Did they say, like,
shocking,
maybe you shouldn't smoke and then have a milkshake? You know, stuff
that's
like that.
Shocking.
Oh, yeah,
I would have
totally
thought,
different.
Like B was saying, I would have thought it's been my whole life, my dad's
athletes,
whole life.
Right.
Yeah, it was always that big and it was always that corporate and well-accepted. Not at all, huh?
It didn't really change until, I would say, you know, like, probably the 84 finals was the tipping point.
Lakers.
That was like the first big series that
Lakers.
People. Yeah, and it was prime
not
time.
Celtics, though, was it? It was Lakers.
Well, the Celtics beat the Lakers. The Lakers won
year?
The next year. Yeah.
Ah, the next year.
But that was like the games were actually on live at 9 o'clock at night versus tape delay, and
that's
people
shocking.
Remember watching it, and that's when things turned.
And you give a lot of credit to Commissioner Stern as being a guy who had a real vision for what the NBA could be and has guided the sport up to today.
Yeah, true. You know, somebody pitched the commissioner before him, it was this guy, Larry O'Brien, who you might remember from Watergate and Democrat. not really a brain surgeon. And they pitched him the whole idea of All-Star Weekend, slam dunk contest, and old-timers game. And, like, his reaction was basically, if you get it paid for, then I'll do it. But, that, like, he just never kind of grasped the whole, hey, maybe we can develop these guys. And, you know, it wasn't until, like, 1983 that they even ran those commercials that we remember watching when we were growing up, the NBA Fantastic commercials, right, where they had, like, the Hall & Oates song and James Worthy doing a 360. They never, you know, they never promoted the game like that because, again, they thought the league was just too black and America and wouldn't accept it.
They didn't want to individualize it either, did they?
No.
I mean, until, like, shoe companies came along and started the Air Jordan and stuff like that where they would focus on a player.
Totally different. I mean, back in the day, they just marketed the teams. And Jordan was the first guy that really got marketed as an individual with the sneakers and the ad campaigns, all that stuff.
Because he was pretty much in another level.
Now I think we've gone too far in the other direction.
Too many guys have
Now guys get shoe commercials. They didn't even do anything yet. It's like, what have you done? You made the first round of the playoffs. You have a shoe?
Bill, we're going to have to take a break here in a moment. Bill Simmons is ESPN's The Sports Guy. We're talking about his book called The Book of Basketball, which, by the way, you can get signed starting at around the very convenient time for most working folks, 4:30 this afternoon at the ESPN Zone at LA Live downtown.
But I'll be there for like 3 hours. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So people can swing out by whatever's convenient for them. Why did you decide to write a book about basketball? I know you love all sports. Was there something in particular that made you want to tell this story now?
It was the book I'd always wanted to read, and nobody had written it. And it's so weird. Like, there's a million kajillion baseball books. And it's like, there's been a baseball book about every single thing that's ever happened in baseball. And yet, I had never read a book that had remotely tried to do anything like this. Mm-hmm. And also, I wanted to talk about my marriage with Brooke Shields and my crystal meth addiction. And how my dad, I hated writing growing up, and my dad made me do it.
You're confused.
I'm confused. What's going on right now?
All right, hold on.
Bill Simmons is here. We'll take a break. Come back with more after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Our guest on The Kevin and Bean Show is Bill Simmons. He is ESPN's The Sports Guy, and his book is currently number one on the nonfiction list of the New York Times, The Book of Basketball, The NBA According to The Sports Guy. You can meet him and have it signed at the ESPN Zone starting at 4:30 this afternoon at LA Live, downtown LA, and then you'll be at the ESPN Zone on Friday in Anaheim.
Can we buy them?
Yes, you can buy them at the signing.
We'll have them there.
Oh yeah, we will have them.
Will they have books?
Of course.
Okay. Good idea.
And you know, I'm asking that for a reason.
Well, because I was in the Grove this Saturday, and my book was nowhere to be seen, which was a little awkward. Since
that's what an author likes to see, right?
Yeah. Well,
why is that available? They just didn't print enough, or
The book company likes to say they're sold out, but that's a nice way of saying that they underestimated the potential of the book and didn't print enough. So yeah, it's point of contention.
Couldn't.
Okay, great. Have you guys been to LA Live?
Oh yeah. Love it.
It's like they just opened this movie theater that I think is the biggest movie theater in the history of mankind.
And
it's like,
to the theater?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
When you think of like what that area was like 6 years ago, it's astounding.
2 years ago.
10 restaurants and a movie theater, and it's insane.
Yeah, well,
it's
like an instant city.
That's where I saw the Michael Jackson
movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
I loved the heck out of this book. Of course, I just started it this weekend, so I didn't get a chance to read the whole thing. But
like
I learned
4 years. You'll
I learned so much, Bill. Tell me the story about how the Los Angeles Lakers almost all died on the same night.
Oh, yes.
Dude.
The I think it was like
what year? Because some of the years it would have been all right with me.
It was like 19. It was before they moved to LA. They were still in Minneapolis, which I don't think a lot of people here even realize that
probably
they started in Minneapolis.
Yeah, and probably. They, you know, people wonder where the name Lakers came from. It's a dumb, dumb name unless you
really
realize they
name.
Came from.
Not quite as dumb as the Utah Jazz, but almost as dumb.
Just
but,
about, yeah.
So it was Elgin Baylor was on the team, and I think Jerry West was too. So it was like 1960-61, but they were flying on a typical crappy 1960s airplane. And a big snowstorm or lightning storm or something, plane lost all power. So they were like in Iowa trying to land on some snowy cornfield.
Wow.
They had the ambulances and the police cars chasing the plane. So when it landed, they could immediately. And they ended up, the pilot cut the engine, landed on the cornfield, somehow didn't crash. And to this day, it's the closest we've ever come to losing a pro sports team. And what I had in the book, which a lot of people didn't realize, was all these pro leagues have a catastrophe rule, they call it, that if a team ever gets wiped out, you know, an emergency expansion draft. There's all these little wrinkles to it, but they don't want to publicize because it's obviously a little ghastly.
Sure.
But so they would have had to.
It's kind of amazing, given that how much they travel, that there hasn't been
Yeah, we've had it in college. Yeah, it's pretty morbid. It's never happened to a pro team, but they do have contingency plans in place.
They have rules in place.
Wow.
It's kind of scary.
Wow.
So what happens? Let's say you lose everyone on – we'll use the Lakers as an example.
Let's say Clippers. Let's go.
All right. Let's say you lose the Clippers. Well, they improve their team with whatever they bring in for next year, right?
Right.
But what do they do? Aren't they allowed to poach from other NBA clubs?
It's something that they guard very closely.
Oh, they won't
and
tell you
I don't
the
know the exact thing, but it's supposedly – every other team would get to protect four players, and then the Clippers could poach whoever their unprotected players are, and then I think they'd get the number one pick in that year's draft and
a whole
bunch of things. It's very depressing.
They should totally do that.
This is more that they should totally do that.
It'd be fascinating, right?
I think like a giant step forward.
I think the Clips, the number one thing they need to worry about is somehow convincing the owner to sell.
Yes.
Who is now like settling racial discrimination cases and is still allowed to own this team. Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
And we make fun of the Clippers all the time because Dave, the King of Mexico, huge Clipper fan. And we've talked to Clipper Daryl and a bunch of Clipper fans. The owner doesn't deserve the team or the fans.
And
the
he was sitting there.
Owner is the problem.
And he was sitting there Saturday night, as usual, dead center, midcourt, on the line with his two Cougars next to him. And he's just not in on the joke.
No, at all.
Just nobody likes this guy. He's ruined the team. He's apparently not a good guy, if you read the depositions from this case.
Yeah, and there's a lot of problems.
It's really hard to believe that David Stern can't just say, you know what? You have to go.
Can he do that? I mean, can they say
he
you
really
can't own anymore?
He can't. Once a person owns a team, that's why they have this whole approval rating.
What about the rest of the owners? Can they?
And that's why they're so careful about who they let in now. Like, for instance, the guy trying to buy the Nets is this 6'9" Russian billionaire who is described as like the Russian Mark Cuban. And they're doing all these background checks on him to make sure he hasn't like killed somebody in the back room in a strip joint or all these type of things, just to make sure that when this guy becomes an owner, that's it. They can't get rid of him at that point.
Wow.
So
interesting. But it is funny. You mentioned Mark Cuban, and I know it seems like the league is always coming down on him. And as far as I'm concerned, the only thing he's guilty of is being passionate about basketball and about winning.
Yeah.
Yet they come down on him all the time. Yet they have owners that do everything that they can to run their club into the ground, and they let them slide. It doesn't make any sense. And by the way, speaking of running your club into the ground, that was another fascinating thing about Bill Simmons' book, is back in the day where teams used to tank on purpose at the end of the season to get a better draft pick.
Oh, you know what? That still goes on?
Oh, it kind of still goes on.
You think so? Not to the degree that you write about in the book, though.
Do they tell them don't play?
Well, they had it recently happened in 2007 because everyone was trying to get Greg Oden or Kevin Durant, and you had these guys – you know, the best guys in the team getting scratched because they allegedly had a sprained ankle. And
yeah, it's not all.
It was a lot worse in the 80s, though.
It's not like all the good teams try and do it, but the teams that have given up, this season's a wash anyway.
Right.
We might as well tank and get a good player.
Well, the Clipper fans have experience of this. You reach a point where you're not going to make the playoffs, so it's like, all right, I'm going to start rooting against my own team because it's better if we stink.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we lost.
And then
we'll
get the first round draft pick. And then his kneecap will go, hell no, I'm not playing for the Clippers.
Yeah, they've changed the lottery process like 5-6 times, and they still haven't figured out
how to totally discourage this.
Yeah, and my whole thing is like, just give everybody an equal chance. Like, it's not a bad thing if like a 39-win team also gets the best guy in the league, because that means they're going to be good. Ultimately, we want good teams.
But wouldn't it be bad if a 60-game team got it?
I mean, no, because look at what happened in the late 70s. The Lakers were really good. They had Kareem. They stumble in. They make this stupid trade with New Orleans, end up getting the number one pick in the whole draft. They take Magic Johnson. Now they add Magic Johnson to this team that's already good, and we have a whole decade of memories of all these great Lakers-Celtic games because the same thing happened. So in my opinion, it's not a bad thing for a decent team to get a good pick.
Don't give the bad teams the picks, but isn't that supposed to be parity? Isn't that supposed to make it all kind of even?
But do you reward bad teams for being bad? Like, let's say you're competing against a bad radio station. You guys are doing a better job than them, and they make some
fiction.
The FCC makes some rule that the bad radio stations get an extra $2 million each year to compete with you because you're beating them. Is that fair?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with no.
That's why he wrote the book, I guess.
Yeah.
Bill Simmons is here. ESPN's The Sports Guy. The book is available most places, called The Book of Basketball, The NBA According to Sports Guy. Not available everywhere. Available some places.
It's fortunately that Amazon still has a bunch of copies. But yeah, it would be nice if it was in a bookstore.
Well, Sure. ESPN Zone at LA Live, downtown LA, if you want to meet Bill and get it signed, starting at around 4:30 this afternoon. He'll be there for a couple hours, he said. We're going to take one quick break and come back with more with Bill, and we'd like to include your phone calls, too. If there's any aspect of basketball you want to talk about, I guarantee Bill has thoughts on it and or has covered it in the book. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. This is The Kevin and Bean Show. Our guest is Bill Simmons, ESPN's The Sports Guy, talking about his new book of basketball, The NBA According to The Sports Guy. One of the many, many great suggestions you make in the book, Bill, is that there needs to be a reality television show for NBA players to explain their tattoos. God, I'd watch that.
Yeah, my idea was that, so we put cameras in NBA-designated tattoo shops all over the country, and as part of the collective bargaining agreement, if an NBA player gets a tattoo, they have to go to one of those stores.
And
so we have cameras in there, and it becomes a reality show. That's and it's idea. Like, then we find out why Michael Beasley is getting lips on his neck.
And it doesn't matter how rich you are, Kobe, your tattoo can still be the most ghetto thing in the world if you play in the NBA. All right, let's squeeze in a few phone calls for our guest, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Matt on line three. Forgive me, Bill, this has to be one of the most asked questions you ever get, but I'm sure a lot of people listening want to know what you think, too. Matt, go ahead. You're on the air with Bill.
Bill, do you think that Pete Maravich is probably one of the greatest players ever in the NBA?
Really?
No, I didn't think he was one of the greatest because he never really won anything. I think he was one of the most exciting and one of the most entertaining. But for some reason, that just didn't translate to his team's
Who
actually
winning.
Who is that?
Who did he play for?
He played for a bunch of teams in the 70s and was like a scoring machine and great flashy passer and all that stuff. But one of those guys that it just never translated like it would have with Magic or somebody like that.
Right.
Thanks for the call, though. You do a nice breakdown with your pyramid plan of the greatest players and why. And you make some very convincing arguments for guys you don't think about a lot. A guy like Tim Duncan, who seems like a solid player. I mean, you make a case for him being one of the all-time NBA greats, which I found interesting.
Yeah, he won four titles. A lot of the book is about perceptions. And it's like if somebody wasn't that exciting to watch, and then their career ends, and then you look back and you're like, oh, yeah, he was pretty good. But actually, no, the guy was four-time finals MVP or three times, whatever.
But never really broke out in terms of having an image and a personality, though. And that seems like what hurts some of those guys, right?
Yeah,
they don't seem like big stars like the LeBrons do.
Well, and then you take somebody like Will Chamberlain, who lives on well after he played, and people now remember him for he scored 100 points in a game.
Right.
He averaged 50 points in a season. And he allegedly had sex with 20,000 women. Those are the three things people remember. Yeah.
The first is the...
And I made a case in the book that, we don't know if Will Chamberlain was straight or gay.
Interesting.
Lifelong bachelor.
Oh, interesting.
Own cats. Love clothes.
Wow.
Those are the three Will Chamberlain facts.
Those are the
never
only three
married.
Facts.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
You did see him do interviews with, like, feathered boas on and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
Listen, all you right. watch Conan the Destroyer, and you start thinking about him a little bit. What's going on here?
All right, speaking of LeBron, let's take a call from Adam. Hi, Adam.
Hi, guys. Hey, Bill, what do you think is going to happen next summer with all the different free agents, LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade? Do you think one team's going to get them all, or what's going to happen?
The LeBron thing is really interesting. Somebody floated out a scenario that sent chills down my spine as a Celtics fan. LeBron is all about, he said, he's on the record, I want to go to somewhere where I can win championships. Like, he's obsessed now with, I want to win a championship. There is a Lakers scenario with LeBron where they could do a sign and trade where they could trade Bynum, Lamar Odom, like three number one picks or whatever, and basically unite LeBron and Kobe. And if that happened, I would have to move to Italy or something.
why can't he win a title in Cleveland? They certainly have gotten close in recent years. They did improve the team this year.
He doesn't have a supporting cast, though, does he?
They screwed up in so many different ways with who they spent money on, and they've just he's not even playing with an all-star, And it's he could go to Miami, for instance, to play with Dwayne Wade. Hell, he could go to the Clippers. And,
easy.
I know he slowed down, but he could put Baron Davis, Blake Griffin, Eric Gordon. They have a ton of cap space. Like, even that's a better situation than the Cavs. Obviously, he'd never play for a racist owner. But
he's leaving the Cavs.
I think he's leaving the Cavs. I think, if there's a flaw with LeBron, it's that he does seem like he's a little interested in not just basketball, but being like a movie producer. And being a jet setter and things like that. And you cannot do those things in Cleveland. You got to be in New York or LA.
Every other team wants him, though, I imagine. I mean,
totally.
He's the biggest pick there has been, forever.
Yeah, and, you look at the history of this, and LA has landed Kareem.
They landed Wilt Chamberlain.
All right.
They landed Shaq.
I like the way you're going.
Anytime there's been a superstar heading into the prime of his career, these guys all, they kind of look at L.A. and they think, yeah. 80 degrees every day, and I could live wherever I want. People aren't going to bother
Kobe
me.
Kobe and LeBron?
It would be pretty good.
the idea of Kobe, LeBron, Powell, and Ron Artest on the floor together, it's just, I can't even.
Well, that's the thing. Is like the 2008 Celtics showed that you really only need three guys. You can fill in the blanks from right there. And if the Lakers had Kobe, LeBron, Gasol, they'd be able to find six other teammates every year.
They
wouldn't
even have to play the other guys.
Wouldn't matter.
They could just play the three.
I'm telling you, I would move to Italy. I'd move to Italy or London. I'd be out.
We don't have time to go to any more calls, but Aaron wanted to know, you've made efforts in the past to get into the game of basketball in some capacity. True, Bill?
I mean, in a joking way. A running theme in my column is that I could be a GM and I'd be smarter than a lot of these guys, which, by the way, is true.
It's true, yeah.
And I wondered about that when I was reading the book, because you seem like a guy who's pretty logical, has a lot of good ideas, and has some historical perspective on the decisions that you make. Was it something you'd ever really want to do?
Well, my whole case was like, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks job opened like a year ago. And it's like the Milwaukee Bucks are they're a small market team. They have no money to spend. Basketball is kind of going down revenue-wise. And
how hard could that be?
Well, what could they possibly do to generate interest nationally? If they hired a sports columnist as the GM, that's something you guys would talk about on the show. Like, did you see this? They hired a sports columnist.
That's true.
So it's like when you think about it just logically, it's like, yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. I mean, my issue would be probably like, you know, I've never been in charge of an office
anything.
Of people or anything.
You're not exactly a boss type.
Yeah, I could. Right. You know, my big moment of being in charge during the day is telling the Starbucks barista what I want my coffee. So I think that would be a problem. But picking players and stuff, I really don't think I'd do a bad job.
The Book of Basketball is available now, the NBA according to the sports guy Bill Simmons. It is a great read, and I don't have to remind anyone listening that it's perfect for the guy or gal who loves basketball on your Christmas list.
I got to say one thing, it's heavy. It feels like a bigger gift than it is.
Yeah.
You know when you give somebody a book and it's like, yeah, it's a 220-page book. It's like, oh, thanks for the book. You give this to a book and you wrap it, and then people are like, whoa, what's this?
I want to open this first.
Wow.
And then they go, oh, it's a book.
And you can meet Bill, get your copy signed, or buy your copy if you don't have one at the ESPN Zone at LA Live downtown LA this afternoon starting at around 4:30, and then you'll be at the ESPN Zone downtown Disney in Anaheim on Friday. The book is great, Bill. I'm so glad you made some time to come in and spend some time with us today. We really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Tomorrow morning, would you like to take that back? Adam Sessler will be calling about the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and Bobby Slayton will be here.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. How about some Pearl Jam? We got it for you. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Weezer, Foo Fighters, Muse, and more next on K-Rock.